The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
They just got such big, what, hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
It's a great question. Tomorrow, after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about 40 bucks out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Stewie?
Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
1 week to go, guys. Till training camp starts, who's excited? Raise your hands. Okay, it's unanimous.
I'm not going to tell you which way it was unanimous.
Nope. No, I'm not. But I know a lot of you out there are excited because football season is only 7 days away for those of you who are Patriots fans. And for most teams around the league, I think they're getting going around that date.
Yeah.
So here it is.
Already lots
already
of activity here.
Activity here because Patriots rookies are in the house, all of them, now that Dante Hightower
I assume, right?
Well, they're supposed to report by 8 o'clock this morning?
I just don't know that they're all here.
I assume they're all here.
I'm assuming they're all here, too.
You know, based on a lot of tweets as well.
Right. The big news
that's right.
Since our last show. Yeah. Well, I can't confirm that part of it.
He didn't force it, but he managed to do it. Andy bickering within the first 30 seconds.
The guy tweets, headed back to Boston, hashtag time to, and I expected work. And he writes, time to eat.
Maybe he hasn't seen the progress.
That's why he's our portly linebacker.
Maybe he hasn't
Did
seen
I
the progress
my
in
Twitter
the dining
feed
room
crossed
yet,
with Dante Hightower again.
Seriously.
He obviously hasn't seen the progress in the dining room.
Maybe that's why he ate. He knew there wasn't going to be food here, so he wanted to pack on the pounds early to stock up.
But, yeah, that parking lot was pretty full this morning when we all drove in. And so I would assume that the rookies are all here. I know injured players generally come when the rookies do, and I think quarterbacks are here as well. So won't be long before we're doing our roster podcasts, and we'll be underway before you know it. It's like less than 50 days before opening day, I believe. I think we're inside the 50-day limit.
I know we're 3 weeks.
45,
Inside 45?
Because Russell Baxter's been tweeting out every day, like, you know, so many
Russell
days.
Baxter certainly needs to get a life.
Yeah, but so many days till opening
day.
Wow. Or at least a job.
Tweeting out every day?
Oh, he's been doing that for months.
Yeah, he's a numbers guy.
Yeah, that's a guy that needs to find something to do.
Yeah.
Even if it's nothing. That's more valuable than that.
I wonder if he has a worse than an 8-year streak, if you know what I'm saying. Because you don't even tweet
like funny.
That.
You're not funny. 3 weeks to the day that we have our first preseason game. The Saints come marching in. That's right.
With the new $100 million man.
Right. But the big news since our last show, obviously, we just mentioned it. Dante Hightower has signed, according to him and reports. The team hasn't officially announced it, but
I think he's a good source.
I think he's a pretty good source.
The guy who signs the name.
Fairly reliable when he tweets the cats out of the bag and all that. The other thing, we have that one roster spot still open, and reports circulating today that yet another tight end, veteran, is in town for a workout. That would be Vicente Shanco, a guy that I kind of thought might have been a target in free agency when it began way back those many months ago. They opted to go the Daniel Fells route, but Paul's best friend, Jeff Howe, I believe, reported that there's nothing wrong with Fells. He's fine. He's expected to be ready to go for camp, so this is just...
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
I haven't seen Daniel Fell since he left this studio with the PFW curse.
Exactly.
I don't buy it.
So
not all this activity, all these, you know, Dallas Clark, Bo Scaife, this guy.
Right.
We've been talking about it on this show for a while, since they started entertaining established tight ends.
I'm dubious.
Until I see Daniel Fells out there, I'm going to be a little bit concerned about that.
We're all in agreement there again.
And I don't think it has anything to do with Gronkowski. I think his rehab is fine. I think he's been able to do a lot of things. I think they played it cautious during the spring. I think they expect him to be a full participant in training camp. Now, if it's not on the very first day, you know, I expect it to be on the very first day, but if it's not, that still wouldn't concern me. I think he will be a part of training camp. And, I spoke to him at a charity thing here at the stadium with Joe Andruzzi. He's fine. I mean, he flat out told me he's fine. So.
By the way, I also maintain if it's Shianko, they still have the best third tight end in football.
Yeah,
he's a pretty good player.
He's very good. He's 32 years old.
He's more productive.
Nine-year vet. Yep.
Well, I mean, in terms of pass catching, he's in another level than Fells.
He originally was with the Giants. He spent the last five seasons with the Vikings. Yeah, I think he's a good player.
I mean, he's a 40-50 catch guy. You know, maybe not.
He's
here.
A solid.
Now, I would wonder, is that what they want?
I don't know. They brought him in for a workout.
No, I'm saying do they want a gifted pass catcher or a guy that can do some blocking? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe, you know, the way a lot of fans seem to be clamoring for the whole Aaron Hernandez, you know, let's end the charade and move him and not call him a tight end anymore. I don't know. I still
that
insist.
That thing really bothers me. I still insist. I feel the same way about Aaron Hernandez as I do season ticket prices. Whether they tell you the game cost $80 or not in the preseason.
Couldn't agree with you
who
more.
Who gives a rat's patookas? You know what it is. Aaron Hernandez, whether they call him a wide receiver, a slot tight end, a tight
H-back,
end.
H-back, whatever.
Watch the games. You see what he does, where he lines up, and what his role is. Why is everybody so infatuated with, now we can finally make Hernandez a receiver?
He was
a receiver last year. Pro Football Focus tweeted yesterday, 72% of his snaps he lined up as a receiver. You know, split out wide.
And who cares what the term is? I don't get it.
He plays offense. He catches passes. He helps you win.
I think people are probably looking a little too far ahead at the potential for franchising him.
Well, don't want him as a receiver because
you don't
want to call
him a receiver.
A lot more money.
Oh, of course not.
You want him as a tight end.
Of course.
Yeah. And when I say who cares, certainly the Patriots care and Aaron Hernandez cares.
Oh, yeah.
For those reasons. Financially, it's a big difference.
Well,
so, and I get why they care.
But right, we don't even know how that's going to play out.
No, I don't.
Because that is going to go into grievances and potentially be NFLPA
and
versus
NFL. We saw the start of it this past offseason with JerMichael Finley in Green Bay.
Until they signed him.
Was in a very similar situation, and it didn't really get ugly because they reached an agreement.
I wonder if the Shianko thing, if he signs, if they bring him on board, if it's a move that is somewhat similar to when they had Algie Crumpler in a couple of years ago.
But it's different, and as Paul says, Crumpler at that point was a big veteran tight end who could block. I don't know that he can. I don't even know how to say his name.
Shianko?
Is it Shianko? I know how to say Visante.
Visante?
Was it Shianko? Shianko?
I've always heard it Shianko. So that's
you have a 50-50 track record on these things at best.
And you also
because you're a pompous ass.
You also have a manner in which you say it, and you tell him how he's supposed to pronounce it. You do have that past. You do have that in your past.
I am a stickler for pronouncing things correctly.
He likes to tell you how to pronounce your name.
No. If you have
speaking language, what is your last name?
No.
If it's a foreign language and you pronounce it the way the people in that foreign language speaking country don't pronounce it, you're pronouncing it wrong.
Except you don't. There's
a right and a wrong way to pronounce language.
But you tell
words.
Someone who pronounces his name a certain way that they're doing
ass.
It wrong.
You
have done that.
American
in the
way
past.
To pronounce.
Right. If they're not pronouncing it the proper way that it's pronounced
but it's
in
their
that
name
language,
is
my
there
point.
Is no proper.
But the name is from that language. The language comes first, not the person.
Okay.
The language
but
came
the person
before the
doesn't
person.
Live in the place with the language. He
doesn't
lives
matter.
In America.
They should still
he is an American.
Properly.
He is an Americanized person.
Properly.
You should not be a pompous ass.
This is twice today you've instigated fights between members of this staff.
That was only once that I instigated a fight. The first one just kind of happened organically.
No, we instigated it kind of.
Please leave me alone, Eric. My body was really sore.
But if we sign him, then we can't sign Carter.
You'd have to find somebody else.
But.
No, I know. Cause
as Bill would tell you, we'd have to make a move there.
There's no one else expendable on the roster.
I like all 90 guys. They're like children, just
But speaking of Andre Carter, he was on...
Who's the leading candidate to be number 90 on your list this year?
He just interrupts people when they're talking.
Wow, he's mad at you.
I'm pulling a Fred Kirsch over here.
I'm heartbroken.
Leading candidate to be 90.
Only the good half.
There's a couple. They both play safety.
Sergio Brown. I know that's your guy. Wow, you hate Sergio Brown.
You're putting him below like guys that you've never seen play before.
Ventrone.
As like undrafted free agents.
Ventrone, Ebner, and Sergio Brown are probably all going to be in the bottom 10.
Are they going to be tied for 87th? Or
it's not a bad idea, Eric.
Wow. Okay. Carry on.
So Andre Carter, speaking of the aforementioned, was on Sirius NFL Radio and was asked, you know, about his health, his prospects for this season, the Patriots in particular. And he, I don't know, did you guys read any of what he said or hear any of what he said when
I
he was on that program?
I read a little bit.
I thought it was a little bit revealing that he kind of referred to the Patriots in the past tense most of the time. And on occasion he would say, you know, when the actual question of will you come back to the Patriots was brought up, he said, you know, it's up to them. You know, he left the door open, obviously, a little bit. But I kind of got the feeling that he's moved on.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he has many places to move on to.
I don't either.
And certainly not at the financial and contract desires he has.
But if that's the case, then if he's done, then.
Could be done. I still think he plays this year for the Patriots.
At some point.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get the money he wants. He's not going to get $7 million, $6 million, whatever he thinks a Pro Bowl free agent pass rusher defensive end is worth. And part of the discrepancy is going to be his belief that he's healthy versus I'm not sure teams are going to think he's healthy and ready to go. So now you're talking about a veteran who's a part-year player, you know, whether he misses four games, six games. So I just think comfort-wise, he's going to realize he had the quote, you know, he learned more in 1 year here than his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be here.
Well, he also didn't definitively say that he was back to full strength either.
Right.
He said, how's your health? Good, healing fast was the quote, working with my physical therapist. Then, are you ready to go, or is this a deal where you're going to have to get into the season to monitor your health before you can continue to play? I think that will be their call, so he kind of tiptoed around that. Their call being whichever team decides to sign him.
Right.
So I think he kind of was diplomatically saying that he's not ready to go, which I think is a little odd too. That he's asking for all this money. I don't
fault him. I mean, he's coming off a great year where your inclination
is
to cash in.
He's taken his one.
I don't have many chances.
He's taken his one last shot.
You got to have some reality to the situation too.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the interview, so I didn't see all those quotes. My feeling all along has been kind of what the way Andy just said. I think he'll be back. I don't think that he has a whole lot of leverage to get a ton. You know, I think Andy and I actually disagreed maybe a month or so back about how much interest there would be in him. You know, where he could go and, you know, get into some kind of a bidding war. I had suggested that, you know, I would wait. I think that if they sign him, I think he opens the season at PUP. And if they don't sign him, I think they wait till he's ready. Now, maybe they don't want to waste six whole weeks. Maybe they feel like he'll be ready in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to sign him and put him on PUP. They want to wait till he's ready and then get maybe three or four extra games out of him than PUP would allow. But I think something like that would make sense. And I think Andy's right. I understand where he's coming from. He's looking at, what's he, 35? 34?
33.
33, okay. All right. Well, certainly in his last gasp, to get a significant contract. He knows he's probably not going to get it, certainly not going to get it from the Patriots, who don't overpay veterans like that at the tail end of their career. But he's taken a run at it. I think that he's done a good job with his PR people, whether it's been his agents or whoever, with the whole notion of how far ahead. I mean, how many times do we read during like May and June how far ahead he was
mm-hmm.
in his rehab?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's
yep.
a reason those come out there. You know, those kinds of stories are made public because
products of the player.
You're trying to make it look like I'm all ready to go. Yep. I'm ready to sign a 3-year deal. I'm ready. You know, give me Pro Bowl money.
Right.
I'm all set.
Especially because.
And now you're finding out that he's saying, well, we'll see how they want to play it. I think the Patriots probably want to play it a little bit more cautiously than that.
Right. Especially when, you know, free agency starts, that's when teams have whatever money they have to spend. At this point, you're really down to pinching pennies.
Yeah, you're not getting I mean, anybody who signs now, you're getting veteran minimum or slightly above type money. You know, you don't see contracts at this point in the process for guys getting $6-7 million a year.
Which is why I'm surprised that he didn't, you know, if there was an offer made earlier in the offseason, that he didn't take it then, knowing that this could happen.
Because he's going to play here this year.
Oh, I know. That's been my feeling all along. He's gonna.
I don't think he got an offer or
that was any better than he's gonna get.
Or
I don't think he
enough
did.
Better so that he liked it here. He's gonna win here. He liked his role here. He learned a lot here. He respects the coaches. Blah blah blah.
So he just
he's gonna be here.
So he put that requirement that salary requirement out there just on the off chance that maybe somebody would bite. And give it to him, and then he couldn't turn it
down.
Or
it increases the Patriots' offer a little bit, or whatever. You know, they play in the game.
This is what I'm looking for. In other words, don't come to me with that veteran minimum stuff. Right. I'm not signing that. This is what I'm looking for.
Knowing that he'll probably end up getting just the veteran minimum.
Yeah.
And then maybe he tries to parlay that into a little
more. He won't sign for just the veteran minimum.
Yeah, he'll get like a Brian Waters is set to make like 1.4 or something this year. He might even get a little more than that. You know, if he's healthy enough, you know, to play. But I don't think he's going to get that Pro Bowl 3-year deal that he's, you know, threw out there with our buddy Jeff Howe a while back. By the way, the Patriots have made it official. Dante Hightower has signed.
Okay. So that's the table. It's set. Unless you guys have anything else in particular you want to bring up for discussion throughout the day, news-wise, otherwise, personal-wise.
Matt Light went to ESPN.
That's
officially.
An interesting note, too. Yep. We were talking on the way in here that that network just seems to have money to buy anybody they want. But I don't know where they're going to find the room to put these people.
They just keep adding shows. They added that, 32, NFL 32 last year and NFL Live, and they just keep adding shows and they'll find places.
What exactly is he going to be doing? Was there a specific role?
Those two
role?
That I mentioned, Sports Center, and some features on Countdown.
So he's going to be like not a host, but an analyst?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely an analyst, just one of the many.
Okay, because he looks like the kind of guy who might want to end up being a host someday with that kind of...
Yeah. I still say if you're going to use him right ESPN, he should end up on like a morning show where he can talk a little bit of politics, a little bit of dabble.
I'll tell you what I think he's perfect for is that First Take show that we watch every day, you know, when we're in here.
I think that show sucks, so I think he's better than that.
but that's what I'm saying. If you put a guy... See, I think it stinks because of
who's
personalities
on it.
For the most part. I think Stephen A. Smith is excellent. I think the other guy's a buffoon. Skip. I think you put a guy like Matt Light who can combat Stephen A. Smith, and you might have something there.
Maybe.
But I think that's what his future holds.
Yeah,
I'm
with
you. Or hone your skills at ESPN, and then if this new NFL network thing takes off and they do a 4-hour morning show, or I just think he, or frankly, I think he's good enough to do real TV. I could see him
CBS, Fox, or
you know, Good Morning America, not as a host, but as a correspondent or something. I think
Tiki Barber, only he's good?
Yeah, only good. So I think he, if he wants to, could have a bright future in general television. HBO down the road, put him on.
That's so distracting.
It really is.
The camera
just
out of nowhere.
It just... Yeah, it's moving.
Your mic's not on.
Your mic's not on either there.
Right. Oh, it is. So then it's the producer's fault.
Well, because he moved chairs. That's
he moved over. I didn't know.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were blind.
It's kind of funny, though, that the guy who never wanted to talk to the media unless he had something to pitch is now a member of the media.
See, I don't know why you had to take it down such an ugly place.
What's so ugly? I'm pointing out a fact. As Andy always says, the truth is never mean.
It's true. But I think it can be mean. I really do. I strongly disagree with Andy on that point.
Oh, you're like the commissioner? You disagree with his premise?
Yes.
I gave up a sack today, guys. I'm not talking.
That was mean, too.
The truth is never mean. When he got bitch slapped by Jason Taylor against the Dolphins in Miami many times, he wouldn't talk. He would run like a schoolgirl out the door and not talk.
Mm-hmm.
That is fact, not opinion.
And when there was a Light Foundation event,
he would
bring everybody over.
Strong. Right. And then there was an event. Oh, I got a shootout this week. Anybody want to talk?
Mm-hmm.
I like Matt Light.
I like him, too, but... You have to acknowledge his failings or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
We've done the same thing with Teddy Bruschi. We have to be fair about these
guys
when they go into the
jokes.
Media.
That's right. I'm making jokes, but Andy and Eric are right. Listen, that's the same way with all of these guys. And I actually think this locker room right now.
Not with Andre Carter. He was always willing to talk to us.
Devin McCourty.
No.
Nobody got beat more than Devin McCourty last year, and he talked
every week.
So when he becomes a media correspondent in 8 years, I'll say, that man never backed down from a question, no matter how bad he was.
I didn't mean that's the same with all these guys, that when some of them don't talk.
When the going gets tough, they get going?
I mean, there's something about pretty much everybody that you like and you don't like. I mean, there's no perfect guy out there. That was my point. And I was actually...
Never had a problem with James Sanders.
I was rubbing the inner portion of his thigh.
And I was going to say that
he had a sore
right
throat.
Now, right now, yeah, that locker room in general right now is as pleasant a place as it's been really in my 13 years here. There's really no guys that I say, oh, my God, I hope so-and-so doesn't have a good game because I don't want to talk to him. There's nobody like that. I mean, I really feel like all of these guys are very, you know, some of them don't want to really, you know, some of them are better at playing the game than others. But
yeah, and some of them aren't very good at giving an interview either.
No, but I mean.
Which you don't want to talk to for that reason.
How many guys are rude?
Can't fault stupidity.
Think about the past with, you know, like you brought up Bruce.
We fought Ferreira all the time.
There were days with Teddy, and I had a pretty good relationship with Teddy, but there were days that I was scared as hell to go up to talk to him because I never knew if it was going to be one of those days where he was going to be mad at me for something.
These things really are huge.
Corey Dillon. There were guys that you just didn't want to really talk to, and important guys, not like just random Scribinis. Ted Washington. My God, I mean, you could never want to talk to a guy like that.
That's a little different. Ted Washington was known as a guy you didn't want to talk to.
He could kill you.
Brewski, you know, was the spokesman and the red lights on, so I'm going to be laughs and smiles. The red lights off, I'm going to be a douche. So, I mean, there's different guys there.
But right now...
Will Fork I would put in that category.
See, I think Vince is definitely one of those guys that, you know...
He's hot and cold.
But even when he's cold...
Vince Will Fork.
He's not overly rude.
Like, I think he can be.
Like, he doesn't shoo you away from his locker.
Point blank.
The way, like, McGinnis would. Or Corey Dillon would.
He's starting to.
Point blank.
Yeah, the point blank thing is getting
a
little... Yeah.
Well, point blank, he says, like, every sentence.
No, point we're blank, saying point I think blank. He can be a douche.
Yeah.
He also says period, I think, a lot. Like, that's it, period, or whatever. I
he also
hear a lot
just
of that
goes on and
picture.
On. Yes, one question, you want a quick quote.
You can get...
You know what he's turned
into? It's like talking a ball, only he's a player.
He's very efficient in that way, though.
He's turned into a less interesting version of Ty Law. Like, Ty Law used to do that.
Yeah, but
he was great.
Yeah, he entertained me. Ty Law, Inc.
Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. 508-298-0398.
That's
the
ace
ticket
hotline
if you want to get reasonably priced tickets that you couldn't get on Ticketmaster the other day.
Ace ticket.
We're going to go to the phones in a second, but first we need to give Garrett some advice. He's writing in saying, guys, I'm going to be driving
up. It's not sex-related. You're out.
Again, only person in the room who's laughing, the person who made the joke, which wasn't
funny. He did make Darren
funny.
Smile.
No, but Darren's just uncomfortable, though.
And there's a quarter of a million laughing around the world.
It's a nervous laughter there. That's what it is.
Molly liked it. Was that her name from last week?
Yeah.
10-year-old?
The 10-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
that's
right. That makes sense.
Right, that's makes perfect
saying
sense.
It's 10-year-old right. Humor for how many years?
Right. Now, she's a little bit more mature than him,
that's
though,
true.
I would think.
Maybe she's like, oh, my God.
Anyway,
really?
Garrett says, I'm going to be driving up to Foxborough to see training camp for the first time and was wondering if you could give some advice about how to get the most out of it, i.e. how early to get there, where the best place to sit is, binoculars, getting to meet the players, etc. Thanks a lot. Your show really helps me get through the off season. Well, don't know where you're from, Garrett, but that might, you know... that might play a role in how early we tell you to get here. I mean, if you're driving from Canada, like our guy the other day was, then...
Leave now.
Yeah, exactly. But
I don't think you have to get here overly early, but if you do come, there's things to do. There's Patriots Experience. There's obviously Patriot Place, so if you're here 45 minutes early, you can kill it there before you walk over to practice.
Yeah, the hall... I mean, now that
it's
the...
It's lunch.
Yeah.
And 1 o'clock makes it more conducive to arriving early, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1:30 to 4 practices.
I'm sorry, 1:30.
Well, but yeah... Basically, they're out there
I
within a half hour.
I don't want to confuse anybody because I keep confusing people.
So a good thing to do probably would, if you can, if you're not too far away, and either you stay overnight somewhere or you get here
the Renaissance
in the morning.
Is available.
The Renaissance is available. You could stay overnight.
You have a kid you can give up.
if you want to sell on the black market. So
actually,
you can
afford it. This is an ideal day. If you're going to make one day of camp and make it a special thing, you could stay over at the Renaissance the night before, get up bright and early, go to the hall. Take the tour, which takes a couple of hours if you really want to do it right.
It's one hell of a good time.
Right. You do that. You grab some lunch at Patriot Place. You head on over. Try to get a little bit of a jump on the crowds coming in for camp as soon as they're ready to open the
get
gates.
Get up by the rope.
Exactly. You get up by the rope. There's, as far as a good place to sit, I mean, it depends if you want to sit on one of those benches or if you want to just sit on the grass.
I'd sit at the bottom of the hill. The benches radiate the heat. It's reflective. It's hot.
Yeah.
And then that is, I think, a good area. You get the field goals kicked at you.
Exactly.
You get the front row for the autographs when they come through. The bottom of the hill is where to be.
Yeah.
Plus, you're near Paul, Andy, and Eric.
And sometimes Fred Kirsch.
I would tend to agree with you guys, but.
But you don't like to sit on the grass.
No. The reason I agree with you is because I think it's more comfortable to sit on that grassy hill as opposed to the metal benches. That's the part. But I think the better view of practice is probably the metal benches because
you can see further.
More.
Yeah.
That's
tough though. Yeah.
If you're on the bottom of the hill and they do, you know, red zone right in that area, players in front of you, you can hear them chatting on the, you see Eric Alexander doing the good for the field goals that he used to do. That's probably as close as you're going to get to the action.
That's
potentially.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think they let you in, is it about 15, 20 minutes before?
Something like that.
Because the fans tend to line up and the gates open and then they're allowed to come in, and obviously it's just general admission. You go wherever you can get.
There's another phenomenon that you need to be aware of, Garrett, that always just rubs me the wrong way, and it's with about a half hour left in practice. Somebody gives a warning or whatever, and
Patriots officials.
I know, but they don't need to do it with a half hour left, and they make people rush up to the very edge of the ropes there to line up when there's still a half hour left in practice, and people have to stand there and do nothing and basically elbow little kids out of the way to try to get a front row spot.
That's my problem with the process is
they don't need to do it that early. They
you
know
guys had some words about that in the past.
I did.
What do you mean?
Did you
some words?
Because we were talking about autographs. I think Fred was like big on
making an age limit or something.
Yeah. Autographs. You should be of a certain age.
That might
you
be
shouldn't
Fred.
Be allowed to get. You know.
Yeah,
well,
Fred
was talking about it when before I even went on vacation. One of the shows that we had, and I saw some of the emails and tweet. I had some tweets. People took offense to that. Why shouldn't I be able to get an autograph from Tom Brady or whatever? You know. So I was like, once again, Fred Kirsch making friends.
Well, the one thing you have to decide for autographs, kind of, is are you going to camp out along the rope when position groups come through, or are you going to go in the plaza by the hall? They do more
they bring some players
organized.
Out there. Right.
And I don't think you can really try to do both. You kind of need to pick. Are you going to go get that one? Are you going to. You need to check Patriots.com because they generally, a day before, will say who's going to be signing and things of that nature.
I think if I were going to get autographs, I would probably prefer to do the hall thing. Or the plaza, wherever they have them, because it seems way too chaotic with people at the ropes. And sure, you know that there are players that are going to come by, but you're not guaranteed to get any of them, depending on where you're standing. Yeah. I don't know.
I have a pretty good chance.
I've never seen the plaza.
The important thing is, I think, to drop your expectations and just hope for the best, because you never know what day anybody is going to sign, other than, as Andy said, the plaza. That's scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
You know what players, what position groups are going to sign there. But if you want to get Tom Brady's autograph, you might be in luck.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the day that he goes. And when I tell you, there are days that he signs for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah. A good half hour.
There aren't a lot of those days.
40 minutes sometimes.
But there are days that it takes him a good half hour to get off the field.
Yep.
He's signing a lot of autographs on those days.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for Gronk's autograph, I would bring a hot, big boob blonde with you, plant her right next to you, and I bet he'll stop.
Yep.
Another fair point by Andy.
Very,
can't argue
very
with that.
Much so. Very much so. So hopefully that helps Garrett.
Don't bring a blonde that you really like.
But I've had,
because he might take her from you. That's true.
I've had times where, and I think all of us probably could say this, you know, some friends come with their families and whatnot. And I've had some of my friends say, my God, thanks so much. You know, your advice worked great. I got, you know, 10, 15 autographs. And I've had other ones say, you know, I couldn't get anybody to stop. Mm. It happens. It's kind of just like,
it's
luck of the draw.
Shoot. Yeah, it depends on which players.
There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Which position is signing that day.
You can be right up in front and they just missed you. They went by you or whatever.
Or you had little kids.
Sometimes
they tend to sign for kids more than for adults.
As they should.
These are all with kids that I'm talking about. But sometimes they just, you know, whatever for whatever reason, they, you know, you skip over them, or there aren't a lot of people signing that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
I think earlier in camp, probably the better. I think as camp goes on, there's probably a little bit less of that. And then maybe the very last day of camp, maybe they linger out there a little more, knowing that this is the last time they have to do it.
And Garrett, I don't know, and to anybody else who plans on coming, if you can try to get here for the 7th of August, that would be the day to come, because that's when the Saints are going to be here. There are going to be a hell of a lot of people. But, I mean, what are you whispering about, Paul?
I wasn't aware that had been announced.
Oh, yeah. That was announced a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah, you were maybe when you were away then. Okay.
All right.
But, yeah, that's been out there.
I'm bad with dates, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, the Patriots' actual Twitter account sent that out.
All right.
And the Saints put it on their website.
I'm good. I'm good. All right.
So the 7th and 8th, there are going to be practices, but the 7th is the day you're going to want to do it because typically the day before a game is a walkthrough, so that's probably going to be less exciting a practice. So,
but you might get good autographs.
You might get good autographs, so it depends on what you want to
see.
Exactly. Exactly. So either the 7th or the 8th is a good time to come if you can schedule that, and that would be a Tuesday and a Wednesday midweek. So I don't know what your people's schedules are, but that's something to consider.
What do you
well.
Mean by you peoples?
You people who want to come to camp. God almighty, why does he have to turn everything into something diabolical?
Are we done on this topic? We spent a lot of time on
it. It's training camp.
Topic.
It's a week away. Anyway, maybe we can bring
could
some
do some more third tight end talk.
Yeah, good talk.
Why, we have the best. Whether it's Fells, whether it's Shanko.
Eldridge sounds like a tight end name, doesn't it? Eldridge. Did you ever play tight end, Eldridge?
Hope he's not a wide receiver.
Quarterback in high school.
You play quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. How did they
really
play?
Back in the day.
Were you a pocket passer? Were you an option guy? What did you run?
Scrambler.
Scrambler?
Yeah, we ran the option.
Nice.
Ran the veer and the option, yeah.
Did you have a good fullback?
We did pretty good. Yeah. But my junior and sophomore year, we sucked. We stuck a Broome High School out of Spartanburg was just getting built. So you know Lee Haney, Mr. Olympia?
Yeah.
Well, he was the first one that went through, and some of my buddies. And, you know, we just, football, we wasn't that good, but track, you couldn't beat us. Right. But football, they didn't get better. Broome didn't get better about 4 years later, 4 or 5 years later after we graduated.
Interesting. Anything else?
All right, so what's so what's on your mind today, Eldridge?
Tight ends. I mean, how many do we have?
Two.
Senko.
We have four, Fell. Technically.
We have two.
Yeah, Ballard,
who's not going to be part of the equation.
Ballard's out for the year.
We have Gronk and Hernandez.
And Tyler Urban.
I don't buy it until I see... Well, we don't have Tyler. Yeah. Forget Tyler Urban. And
he's on the roster.
Well, Gronk, he's an urban legend.
You have Gronk, Hernandez, and Fells.
On the roster, you know.
On the roster, we currently have four on the roster.
Yeah, but Urban's not going to make the team.
No.
I'm pretty confident in saying that.
And Ballard is a question mark.
Ballard is going to be on
a list, probably.
And if PUP and then whatever, NFI or whatever the hell. No, not NFI because he got hurt playing football.
Yeah.
So
it's Fells. The question is Fells.
Was why they keep why we got them tied in?
No, I think it's because we haven't seen Fells since the first day of OTA.
Fells was in the studio. That's the last time we saw him.
Fells was not on the field for any of the
practices
during the spring open to the media. Not one. We had four different OTAs in 3 days, well, 2 days of open practices in minicamp, and he wasn't at any of them.
And I think it's pretty clear they skated with two tight ends last year for the most part, and then they realized at the end their eyes were opened when Hernandez was joking, when Gronk, there's nobody out there, it's just me. And, they had one body basically out there, and Gronkowski. I don't think they want to skate with just two this year. I think they want a third tight end.
Right, and they had, don't forget, last year they had the luxury. I mean, at times Dan Gronkowski was
here. They had Jags brought in.
And they had the luxury of having Nate Solder work in that regard. They don't have that luxury anymore.
You could still use Cannon or you could still use Gallery or one of those Jags.
I got
two questions for you.
Okay. Let's get to
it. One of the opinion. I'm getting tired every time I turn NFL.
I thought you said there were two questions.
Giants over my boys again in those two Super Bowls. NFL channel.
Okay, so you don't want them to show teams that won the Super Bowl.
Not over my boys. No.
I'm sorry. I think they're
going to
so no 85 Bears, no 07 Giants, no 11 Giants. Okay,
96 Packers.
No 07, no 11. Yeah. I'm tired of looking at them.
Okay.
But
what's your other question?
They did 32-32 last night, and they're talking about our defense. Some of them think we don't get no better. Some of them think, it's mainly to be seen.
It does remain
and
to be
seen. And I want to know what your take on it.
It remains to be seen.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to say they didn't get any better.
That's
brought in guys. They brought in guys that could contribute. They injected two first-round picks. But I have no idea if any of them or all of them or none of them can play.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. And even if it's just marginally and they didn't make any personnel moves, they got a little bit better as the year went on last year. I mean, as they got into the playoffs last year, it was a little better than it had been you know, when Andy was calling him the worst defense of the Belichick era. Now, again, it was marginal. It wasn't good defense by any means.
Eldridge, thanks
for
the call,
buddy.
But
they were a little bit better.
Yeah, and, I mean, the biggest issue, I have faith that some of the guys will be good. I don't know who they are. It might be Trevor Scott. It might be Jonathan Finene. It might be Jones. It might be Hightower. But the thing we've talked about is the lack of Carter and Anderson. Even if those guys can play, are they just filling the exact roles of Carter and Anderson? Are they not quite as good? To be better, they're going to need some improvement above and beyond what they got last year. Gregory,
no, I said that, Andy.
Gregory, I'm pretty confident, is going to be better than what they got last year out of that safety spot.
Yeah, I
but
I
as far as the D-line outside linebacker,
a lot of
we'll
question
see.
Marks still
we'll
there.
See.
Lunch has arrived, but before we do that and take a break, we're gonna go South America way. I don't think we've ever had a call from this part of the world. From that part of the world we have, I think, but never from Ecuador.
What the F are you babbling about?
We've gotten calls from Brazil
just
before.
So you
that's
know,
in
Andy,
South America. That's a part of the world.
Your sentence that you just said, Matt Light would have been ashamed at, because it was a run-on sentence where you said, I don't think we've ever gotten a call from this part of the world. Well, we have from that part of the world, but, I mean, it made no sense.
I just interrupted myself.
You Fred cursed yourself. You contradicted yourself in one freaking sentence.
Victor is spending good money to call us here. Let's not spend
and,
it
by the way,
with
I
our
believe
cartoonish
Victor,
arguing.
I believe Victor has participated in the the pregame social.
Why don't we ask him? Victor, what's going on? Victor.
Victor?
Hello?
Victor.
Hola.
¿Cómo está?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hola.
Yeah, this is Victor.
Yes, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, no, nothing. First of all, Andy, you're the best.
Thank you.
And
all Kevin, right, thanks for the call.
Hey, let him speak. Let the man speak.
And Kevin, you suck was
no,
the rest
I
of that.
I was just wondering, now looking back, don't you guys think that it was way better to have given the drop nail deal to Wes Welker? You know, I mean, it just because in this day and age, I think that a linebacker like drop nail, a middle linebacker,
is he underwater?
It's easier to find than a slot guy than like Wes Welker. You know, I think it's much easier to rack up 100 tackles than to catch 120 passes every year. So, I don't know. I wanted your guys' opinion on that.
I do think it's easier to rack up 100 tackles than catch 100 passes. Someone on every team virtually every year racks up 100 tackles, regardless of who they are. There are tackle machines spread across the league. That said, it's not apples to apples because I think Jerod Mayo plays a key role on this defense as a leader, as a play caller, as a guy who, you know, adjusts everything, and as one of only two proven commodities on the entire defense with Vince Wilfork.
Age is also huge.
Well, that's what I was getting to. His age, I mean, these are two totally different people. One at the beginning of a long career, they expect. The other who's on the wrong side of 30 and, you know, undersized. I mean, Jerod Mayo has perfect size. He's been a little bit banged up over his career. He's had the knee issues. So I think there are a lot of
Mayo go together.
Excuse me, Robert. I was speaking. I think there are a lot of factors that go into it. That said, I would not have given Jerod Mayo $50 million.
Well, that's why I pointed to Andy, Victor, when you started your question, because I knew that the bottom line for Andy was going to be
because I actually
no way would I have given him that contract.
I think it's easier to replace the role of Wes Welker, a slot receiver, than it is to replace a legitimate All-Pro linebacker. The only question is, I don't believe Jerod Mayo is Patrick Willis. I think Patrick Willis is harder to find
totally
than Wes Welker.
Totally agree. If you would ask me which one I would rather sign to a long-term deal, it would be Mayo. But that would be because of age and all that. Now, I think that they paid probably a little bit too much for Mayo, and I'm okay with that because so many times we've sort of talked about the Patriots, they're not willing to go the extra mile and get these guys locked up. So I have no problem with that. I have no problem with what they did. I think Mayo was an important guy, and the fact that they were proactive in that, I applaud. I think that's good sound, you know, football business that they did with Jerod. But if you're asking me which one out of those two, I would rather have Mayo because of his age.
Anything else, Victor?
Yeah, no, but what I mean is, even with Mayo, that defense still sucked. I mean, it was probably the worst defense I have ever seen in my entire life last year. And Wes Welker, I mean, he has single-handedly won games for Patriots. I mean, like, I go back to that 2009 Jets game, I think it was. That same year, I think it was against Carolina that he got racked up real hard, and then he got up and just energized the whole team. And so, I mean, I think he's a much important player to the team than Jerod Mayo. And to me, to have Wes Welker for three more years, it way better than to have just a middle linebacker in this day and age that, you know, not a lot of people run the ball. He doesn't get sacked. He doesn't get interceptions. I mean, I like Gerard Mayo, you know, but I would much rather have Wes Welker long term.
You're making a fair argument. There is, I mean, it's. I think it's not even arguable that Wes Welker has won this team more games than Gerard Mayo has.
I would agree with that, but I would also say I think it's unfair to say, well, the defense, you know, with or without him isn't very good. I think the offense with or without Welker would still be very good.
Right.
I mean, I can make that blanket statement if we can make it about Mayo.
I think both statements are true.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think the offense is fine. I think someone else would catch a lot of passes. Maybe not 122, but... You know, listen, I think that this is a system that has shown throughout the Belichick era that it can withstand the loss of personnel. Now, Brady is probably an exception to that. Maybe Rob Gronkowski is a little bit of an exception to that right now. But I still think even without Gronk, they wouldn't be able to feature a tight end the way they do, but they would find a way to be productive. I think they've shown the ability to do that. And I think Andy's right. Victor, I think you made some excellent points with regard to Mayo and Welker. I just think I got to go with the youth there. I'm not sure what Welker is going to be over the span of a new long-term contract, and that would have sort of shied me away a little bit.
All right. How hot is it down there in the equator there today, Victor?
Actually, today's pretty cloudy, you know. This is the time of year that it gets kind of cold down here, so
yeah.
It's different than in the United States, yeah.
It's a little cloudy here too today, though, finally.
And cooler.
And a lot cooler. All right. Well,
Victor, okay. We love you. Yep. Call back anytime. You're the best.
Okay, Eric. Eric, I hope your sex gets better.
All right. All right. He had to ruin it, didn't
you
he?
You know any Ecuadorian girls that are ready, willing, and able?
He had to ruin it. All right, lunch is here. We're going to dig in, but 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio at patriots.com. More of your phone calls and emails right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school.
set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad.
An exterminator.
Sleepaway camp.
Engaged.
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight.
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's
no, that's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
the
email.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him. Lunch is here, and the streak continues. They've screwed up the order yet again, but that's okay. Thankfully,
you'll never guess whose order they screwed up based on that return to the show.
Well, I was due for one. They hadn't ever screwed up my order before, so I was...
Luckily, you always have a second lunch with
me. Of course.
You.
Well, this is auxiliary. This is supplementary.
Darren's happy, and he needs it.
Right. Yeah, you do need it. You need to bulk up. You got to make weight for camp. When's camp start for you guys?
You're telling somebody to bulk up?
Well, he's still playing.
August 27th is the report date.
The Williams report date?
Mm-hmm.
You were a kicker, so you never played. Don't say he's still playing like you're not anymore. You were a kicker.
Shut up, you scrub Division III linebacker.
No, you three guys.
I'll roll the Division III.
You three guys.
No, he was a scrub. You actually play.
You guys all play college football, so you went through the recruiting process.
I'm not sure Eric did.
I did.
Matt, you didn't play any college football, right? So Matt and I have no idea what that process was like.
Yeah, I was a track athlete.
You look like it.
Blew up my knee in high school, so I didn't play college football.
I look at Flash and I think, Carl Lewis. I mean, it's
not
immediately
that kind
comes
of track,
to mind.
Clearly. See that?
Not that kind, more of the field?
No, more of the track and field. More of the distance running.
We don't call him Flash for nothing, you know?
So what was the process like going through the recruiting thing? Did you find like there was like preferential treatment because you were stud football players?
Not for D3.
You know, the academics were sort of put on the back burner, or just because you guys were NESCAC. You know, that was just assumed that it was.
It's an academic conference.
Academics is on the front burner.
Well, you want to hear a pretty good story actually about me and my track career? I got offered a scholarship.
Flash is back, by the way.
Division II track, like cross country team, didn't have a throwing team. The coach apparently just saw my name because he recruited someone else from my town, and they sent me a letter saying, yeah, we want you to come run cross country here.
I would have signed it as quick as I could, because you'd never have to go to practice, and you'd have your schooling paid for.
Turned it down, huh?
Turned it down.
Where was it?
Because, well, it was somewhere out in Illinois.
So one of those schools that doesn't really exist.
Huh?
Is it one of those schools that doesn't really exist?
I don't know.
No, those were the ones that recruited you to play.
says the scrub Division III linebacker.
As soon as they found out that I weighed
the
like 290 pounds. The
undersized scrub Division III linebacker.
Are you going to do this, or are you going to make me fight your battle? Are you going to jump in here?
Why don't you fight it? I think this is going to be entertaining.
He's kind of annoying me making fun of your career.
But see, it doesn't bother me.
He was a kicker.
He wasn't even a kicker.
It didn't even kick. At some point, you're going to address this?
We all know that you sent your little emails and tried to find anyone who'd ever heard of him.
I did.
You.
I did
and no one had ever heard of him, even know he was there, except for his little Photoshop photo he puts out there of the uniform he stole.
Photoshop photo. Now, that's good. Right, he had hair, too, then.
Yeah, that was...
That's how you know it was Photoshopped.
We have some apologies.
I knew I could get them going.
We have some apologies to make, in all seriousness, because for the last couple of shows, we have not thanked the people who have bought us lunch. We've been remiss. A week ago, Fred Kirsch forgot to thank Paul Patriot, and that's not Paul Perillo, for those of you wondering, because Paul is, as Fred likes to say, everything but patriot.com. Paulie Patriot bought us lunch last Thursday, and he wrote in an email. What do you guys think of when you hear statements like Joe Flacco outduels Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, or same goes for Eli versus Brady in the Super Bowl? Commentators and some sports writers like to point that stuff out, but Tom Brady is not out there on the defense trying to deflect Eli's passes and vice versa. QBs are not dueling against one another. They're going against the opposing team's defense. It really gets on my nerves sometimes when I hear these statements because it's not an accurate comparison. Joe Flacco lit up our last-ranked pass defense. Congratulations! Just like everyone else during the last season, while Tom Brady had to go against the Ravens' superior defense. P.S. I still can't agree on the Welker drop with you guys. Sure, he had to twist his body around to be able to make the play on that ball, but I've seen him do that a half dozen times before and make the exact same reception. Bottom line for me is that the ball is hitting his hands, and seconds later it's hitting the ground for an incompletion. He's a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. He needs to make that catch. I think the pressure of the situation got to Wes on that play a little bit. That was Paulie Patriot.
I think you could make the exact same statement and just insert Brady for throw. He's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback who makes that throw in stride a million times.
I agree.
I think the pressure of the situation may have gotten to him, and he's got to hit him in stride there and not wuss out and think a safety's going to cut across
and
end the game.
I wonder. I don't know if so much of it was the pressure, but
and I don't either. I was using his
rationale.
Yeah, kind of.
But Paul, being a former quarterback, can maybe attest to
this. We are moving
this.
Our way down the athletic ladder here. From Eric not kicking to Paul not playing.
Hey, isn't there? I'm trying to eat my french fries. Can you just please stop?
I don't know if it was. I'll give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it wasn't so much the pressure of the situation, but a lot of times when you see a player who's so wide open, you get so surprised at the fact that he is open that you just, I don't know, not tense up, but you're just so shocked by what you see, that an easy play turns into something difficult.
And sometimes when you're so wide open, the ball's coming in, you have a lot of time to think about it. I find that as a receiver sometimes.
Have you ever dropped a key pass like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Been there.
More than you can...
That's why he's in the next
more than you
game.
Want
that's
to admit.
That's why I'm playing Division III.
No, but don't you think that could have been part of it? Yeah. He sees that he's so wide open, and Brady makes just the quick throw just because, like, wow, there he is. He's so open.
But usually Brady doesn't do that. That's the kind of thing I usually watch another game, and somebody misses a wide open receiver or against the Patriots, and you go, that's why you're you.
The blame.
That's
but
why
you attribute that to the pressure of the situation or just that he's human, and every once in a while that's going to happen?
I think he overanalyzed it. I think he saw out of the corner of his eye.
The other safety
sorry,
that was
I'm
coming across.
My food here, but yeah, and I think he said, I have the opportunity here to be overly careful, and I think he was overly cautious there.
And I also think that to say that you've seen him make that play a million times or a number of times,
Welker.
I don't think it's accurate. I know that our buddy Greg Bedard from the Boston Globe did actually go back and, you know, because Welker made a comment after the game about it's a catch I've made 100 times or something along those lines.
He took
lines.
It as hard as I've ever seen
I'm
a player
paraphrasing.
Take it.
He delivered that line through like...
Oh, yeah. He's
oh, he was very
with
choked
the
up.
Reddest,
sounded like me on my wedding day.
The reddest of red eyes and tears, you know, certainly on his face as he delivered that line. And Greg went back and did some research on that and found that there weren't numerous times that they had a back shoulder kind of fade where he was twisting in the air like that, where he made the catch. And in fact, he found a couple of examples where the ball was thrown similarly, and the result was very similar. It went off his hands in that kind of a manner. Listen, do I think the ball should have been caught? Yes, I do. Do I think the ball should have been more accurately thrown?
Yes
I do. I still kind of go...
It's 50-50.
You know, with
it really
50-50
is.
Kind of deal. And
51-49.
And I put the onus a little... If I had to, if like in business, it can't be a 50-50 ownership. I would have to go with Andy just said, 51 on Brady.
On Brady.
Not absolving Welker of any responsibility on the play. I just don't think it's accurate to say I've seen him. I mean, yeah, I've seen him make that catch before, but I haven't seen him do it numerous times the way a lot of people have talked about. And not that I'm saying the emailer is doing this, but some fans around here, especially on the radio, have been sort of falling into that, well, you can't give that guy that long-term contract. You dropped that ball in the Super Bowl. I think that's really, really ridiculous.
It is.
It is absolutely
ridiculous. To take it to that level.
His other thing, sorry, but you're being ridiculously sensitive. That's how sports works. Two starting pitchers outduel each other. Clemens outduels Pedro.
Right.
They don't face each other.
Right.
They face different lineups. In basketball, you know, Kobe outduels Durant. Well, they may or may not be guarding each other, so that it's just the way sports work.
Yeah, baseball in the National League is the only time you might actually get
right,
the pitcher
facing the pitcher.
Right, but even
that doesn't take into account, you know, one team may have the best offense in the league and the other has
series.
The worst.
Yeah, I don't remember. Listen, maybe this is true. Maybe people in Indianapolis used to complain about it, but I don't remember people saying that it's unfair to say that Brady beats Peyton Manning.
Right.
Because Brady got to pick apart a terrible defense, and Manning went against the Patriots, who were, you know, as good as anybody in 03 and 04.
Yeah.
And did anybody say that Flacco outdueled Brady?
Well, if they did,
he lost.
If they did, they weren't watching the game, because Flacco, despite all the numbers, missed too many throws in that game to be saying. I mean, he was fine. He wasn't the reason why Baltimore lost. But had he played a really, really good game, Baltimore would not have lost that game.
Right.
And I also think it's fair to say that Manning outdueled Brady.
Now, I would say that Flacco played better than Brady in the game.
Both defenses sucked, and Manning won.
You know, I mean, what I'm saying,
Manning closed his eyes, threw up a prayer, and it got caught. What are you going to do? It happened the second 07. Super Bowl in a row.
No, no, no. This one, he didn't close anything. There was no prayer. It was a great throw.
It was a prayer.
It was a great throw and a great catch.
It was a great catch of a prayer.
Fred. Yeah, it's Fred. That seat.
Settle down.
The guy sits in that seat and turns into a Homer douche.
But the who was the guy that I was trying to think of? Oh man, I can't even remember it now.
For who? For which team?
The whole outdoor. Well, Brady in the Baltimore game. Look, back to that Flacco thing. Brady in the Baltimore game. Flacco played better than Brady.
Right.
In the Baltimore game.
Right.
Flacco played well, missed some throws. Brady played poorly in the Baltimore game. Yes, the emailer's right. Baltimore's defense is much more formidable. So the fact that he played poorly against a better defense, okay, I see what you're saying there. But that doesn't take away from what Flacco did. Especially, a lot of people didn't think he was capable of even doing what he did coming into the game. He'll melt. He'll do this. He's, you know, yeah, he's won all these playoff games, but he's never been, he never thrown for any yards. He's never been responsible for any of the wins. Well, he played pretty well that day. I think he missed some throws that a good quarterback has to make, particularly some long throws that I didn't think were all that difficult. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
They lost. It's hard to say the out-duel, all that stuff.
And I don't really think people do that in games like that. They usually do that when it's like one guy throws for 360 and the other guy throws for 320.
I agree.
Just like in baseball, if it's a 12-10 game, they don't say that one pitcher outdueled the other. It happens in a 1-0 game where one guy had, you know, 10 strikeouts and the other's got 8.
No, but there is also the like over the span of players' careers, they do compare quarterbacks that way and say, you know, Joe Montana John Elway never lost to so-and-so in his career or whatever, when, you know, it's not really fair because they're not really playing. It's not like tennis where they're, you know, you're playing against an opponent directly or whatever, but
it's the way sports
works.
That's
the way it is, yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Thanks for lunch. Was that a lunch email?
That was the lunch. That was Paulie Patriot.
Yep. Get over it.
It was a good email, too.
Was. We also didn't thank the most interesting fan in the world, James Pettigrew, a.k.a. Stevie H.
As always, thank you.
On Tuesday. And, Kevin, who was today's lunch buyer?
Your mother.
Today was Chris with a TIAN.
Oh, Christian.
It was the third of his four lunches.
Really?
Still repaying his debt.
Wow. So what a guy. We told him he didn't have to do that. I told him
one per month.
I know you told him that. So the rest of us on the show said you don't have to do that.
Well, in August, we get another.
We came to a middle ground, and he said he'd do one a month for 4 months.
Yeah.
And that's how he would divide it up.
You're a good man, Christian. I don't care what Andy says about you.
Quick lunch update. New guy's going in for sandwich number two.
Thanks for the extra one.
He needs to bulk up.
He does.
Yep.
He's got a month now.
He's going to go into camp and be like 20 pounds overweight.
You're what, 6?
Now, what year are you going into?
6'2".
And what are you weighing? You're
going to be a senior?
About 185.
Oh,
ish.
My God.
Yep.
Way back.
I don't understand how you are calling somebody skinny and frail and petite.
Because he's tall. He looks thinner.
How many passes did you get?
You look super thin.
Yeah, but he's taller.
Not sure about pass receptions. Had about 700 yards.
Wow. I like that, Andy. 50. Andy, this is a guy after my heart. He's concerned with his yards, not his catches. I like it. I like it.
We have another lunch-related email from Lauren. This is pretty funny. Her subject line is, I'll buy you lunch from pfwinprogress.com.
Will it be a box lunch?
You want to eat her box. It's a lunch.
He says so many inappropriate things on this show. I mean, we can't trust you anymore to what you're going to say.
I repeated what you said.
You did not.
I did.
In any way.
I did. I had a little tickle in my throat, so I had to pause there for a second.
Good
Lord. He added the second part.
I did. You weren't paying attention. You're too quick to react to these things. You're a knee jerk. No, actually, you know what? Take the knee out of it. You're just a jerk.
You're just an idiot who says inappropriate things.
Lauren thinks
you
her husband.
You left the double and the double entendre.
No. her husband, this is Lauren, my idiot husband.
He doesn't want you eating her box.
My idiot husband, Brian Malley, who listens to you all the time and thinks you are his friends.
We are. Brian, what are you doing later? You want to hang out? My son's got a game if you want to come watch with me.
He sent an email a little while ago about a Pats fan club that we're starting in Omaha, Nebraska. I remember that.
I do too.
You so generously read our email, but the info he gave was incorrect. If you could shout out our fan club and the information to our Facebook page, it is facebook.com/Heartland. That's Heart spelled, you know, like your ticker, not like Andy's last name. Heartland.
Or my last name.
PatsFans.com.
Heartwell.
I didn't know that.
Sorry.
Edgerton?
Stepping all over the web address for their
fan
club.
Say it again, Punani.
Facebook.com/HeartlandPatsFans. That's all one
we're
word.
We're just trying to, you know, clarify
her idiot
some
husband.
Information that was given incorrectly a while ago. Right. So it's okay that we
to
talk
to be fair, that fits in on this show perfectly. I mean, how often does Fred
over?
Say, you know, for the draft we're going to do, when are we doing that? Is it 12 to 3?
Right.
Is it, we'll see you next Tuesday? Oh, wait, no, we got a show Thursday. So it fits right in.
Mm-hmm.
Should they also just go by the Danny Woodhead Club? I mean,
they could, yeah. I mean,
that's why they're starting.
North Platte. I wonder if they're from North Platte.
Or South Platte.
The Malleys. Anyway, Lauren tricked us because she signs off, thank you so much, but I'm not going to buy you lunch.
Yeah, we didn't want your box lunch anyway. It's dirty box lunch.
Oh,
you
God.
Farmers. I know who you farmers are. Stanky.
Really?
Yeah.
This is what it's come to.
Yeah.
Yet again.
There's no double in that entendre either, my friend.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Dan
so
from
he was
Virginia.
Talking about box lunch.
Right.
No, he wasn't.
When those farmers go out on the tractor, they put the box lunch under the seat. It's hot. It gets warm. They don't have it properly chilled. Mm-hmm. It starts to stink.
Is this
a
what you do down on the estate?
That's what Peter does.
Who's Peter?
The guy who does my field.
You have a Peter in your field?
This guy. That Peter works a lot more than yours does.
No doubt.
Peter gets the job done.
Dan from Virginia. Dear
Peter
PFW,
does a lot of plowing.
We heard
when
you.
Was the last time your Peter
We
plowed?
Heard you, a-hole. We heard you. Dear PFW.
Very sensitive.
Uh-oh. This is Dan in Virginia.
I was getting mad.
To take the offseason hypotheticals in a different direction, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady obviously have to be in the discussion of the best ever at their respective positions. What would each of them have to do to be clearly and undisputedly the best ever at their position? Regardless of how likely, unlikely any such achievements might be, the difficulties in comparing coaches and QBs from different eras and how haters will always dispute their status, just for fun, what do you think it would take? For Bill, will one Super Bowl do it, as that would equal Chuck Knoll's record? But Bill also won two as defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. Or would Bill really need to win two more rings? Or will Lombardi always loom largest, regardless of whatever any other coach does? Again, for Tom, will one more Super Bowl do it, as that would equal Montana's and Bradshaw's records, but Brady has started two more? Or would Tom need to win two more? Does Tom also need to win one or two more Super Bowl MVPs to surpass Montana? And would a perfect season seal it for both of them? Dan in Virginia.
Not possible. There will always be an argument for both of them.
That's kind of how I feel. I think that
there will always be an argument for both of them being
either
the best
way, thing. Among the best and not the best.
I mean, if they were to win more, then I would probably side with they're the greatest of all time. It might be the greatest tandem of all time anyway.
Oh, the tandem, in my opinion, there is no argument. I think the tandem is proven.
But I agree with your overall premise. Just because you
Although
think
Walsh
something is unarguable doesn't mean it is. I mean, there's an argument to be made for almost anything.
Well, and I think there's legitimate arguments. I mean, certainly coaching-wise, he's probably never going to have the numbers of Shula, three, whatever the hell that number is.
Like Chuck Knoll
but
and Terry Bradshaw.
Paul Brown, what has Bill brought to the game? Because Paul Brown revolutionized the game. What has Bill brought to the game besides winning? And I'm not like saying it's easy to win, but if you ask Bill about great coaches, one of the ones that's coming up in the first couple is Paul Brown for the innovation. He changed the game. The game was different.
Well, what about
because
to stick
him.
With the tandem well, thing, it was Otto Graham. It was Paul Brown and Otto
right.
Graham.
Okay, what about the possibly winning with subcaliber talent, cheap players, if you will, like he did in 01? And that sort of started a revolution for a time with trying to be economical in your free agent signings and that type
of thing. Yeah, I think that's overplayed. I don't think it's that big a deal. And I think, I mean, for Bill, like it or not, and, you know, we don't dabble in this area much, Spygate's going to hang over him forever. Anyone who wants to say you're not the greatest ever, Spygate will be brought up.
Well, that's another factor. I didn't even think of that. But
that's always going to hang
like
over his head.
I feel like you can have your convictions. I think that's why sports arguments are so fun. That's why, I mean, I know that we tease each other for the amount of time that we argue over things that when you look back at, you're like, really? Did we talk 15 minutes about that? Do we spend 2 hours arguing that? I think that's what the fun of it is.
Sure.
I think sports arguments are fun. Debating something.
These people do too. I mean,
yeah,
that's
I hope
what they
are. I hope they do. I hope that's why they listen, because
well,
they know they're going to go off on something.
They say, you know, I've been arguing with my friend at work for 3 days and wanted to get your whatever. I mean, that's how these things work.
Paul Patriot there that bought us lunch. You know, it always drives me crazy when people say that one quarterback outdueled another.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when you look back at it, do we really, you know, argue about that? Well,
yeah,
because it's fun.
It's what we do. And it's no different than anything else. These idiot politicians argue all the time about, like, things that aren't facts, aren't, you know, can't be proven really either way.
Right.
The one thing I wanted to say is, I don't know.
You forgot. It just disappeared, huh?
It really did.
It got lost in that cavernous vacuum of your head?
It did. Well, there's a lot of information in there. That's why it got
lost.
You
sounded like that drop they always play with Felger and Maz, where Tony goes, I don't know, Mike. I don't know. Because he didn't hear the question.
Part of the thing, okay, let's just say that something can be done for them to become the best ever. Mm-hmm. Brady can be the best quarterback. Bill can become the best coach. Mm-hmm. Who do they have to pass? Because to be the best ever, you need to tell me who's the best ever now. And except for the moron, who was the moron I didn't like for saying playing the game better than
as well as anyone's ever played it?
I mean,
Aaron Rodgers was doing that, but I don't remember who said it.
But to be number one, who's number?
You have
who
to
am
settle
I
on who's number one.
And I've never. Maybe I'm wrong here. Some guy at the British Open just got hit with a golf ball. He was lying on the ground with his hand on his head. Very funny. Assuming he doesn't die. But
yeah, poor guy's bleeding to death over here, and you're laughing at him.
It was a funny visual.
What a jerk.
But I've never heard anyone say Chuck Knoll.
I wish
is
your
the
head
best
was
coach
hit by the
ever.
Golf ball.
And you know, he said if we get another Super Bowl, Knoll. I've never heard anyone say Chuck Knoll's the greatest coach ever.
No,
but I think
maybe Pittsburgh fans.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. If you're in Pittsburgh and you feel that way, great arguments to be made for it.
Sure,
I agree with you. I don't hear a lot of people use Chuck Knoll.
I think most people would either say Walsh or Lombardi.
Walsh, Lombardi, Brown, and Shula,
and Bill. Is
Shula's going to get some run just because he has a perfect season and he has the 340 wins or something. But that's my point. There's never going to be a number one definitively, because you can't even tell me number one definitively now. It's what they always say about the one thing in football that everybody seems to come to a consensus is that Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver ever and that everything else is disputable. And there's some people that probably dispute that, you know, Randy Moss fans or whatever. But there just aren't. And because it's such a – it's different than baseball, where you can't just flat out say – you know, the numbers say this. Well, there's a lot of different numbers. Are you going on, you know, a quarterback? Are you going on wins? Or are you going on yards? Or are you going on touchdown interception ratio or rating? There's never going to be a number one because it's part of the fun.
And it sounds like, based on Dan's email, that he's talking about hypotheticals or projections of things to come, not hypotheticals of what could have been. Because if they had won in 07, do you think there's even an argument for either one of them?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I think if Belichick,
I know there would be an argument from that, like the Steelers fans.
No, but
or whatever,
if Belichick
but
wins another one that close, and it's a perfect season, there's going to be an argument that Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in the history of the game.
And Brady, best quarterback.
I think Brady still would. You know, but the way that season unfolded with 50 touchdowns and he had never done that before, yes, there would have been an argument that the two had just made themselves the best ever.
But obviously, the more accomplishments you achieve, the more strength your argument becomes.
Right.
But I don't think I think Andy and I are in agreement on this. I don't think no matter what you do, you can ever just make a blanket statement. It's inarguable. You can't combat that. Personally,
I mean, if Brady won the next four, it'd be pretty hard to argue against that.
And listen, it's the argument that I would make.
Because now those become a strength of his. Well, not only did he win four in a row, shortly before that he lost two. The guy could have won 9 Super Bowls.
And at different times in his career.
Yeah, and the whole thing. Yeah.
In different ways. He was sort of a game manager earlier in his career. They relied on the running game.
Then he became a...
He was a running game guy, and they had a great defense. Then he had no defense, and he was throwing 50 touchdowns and going undefeated. Yeah. I mean, it's an argument I would make that they were the best.
Right.
But I still think that no matter where you go, you can find an argument for someone else. Vince Lombardi only won 2 Super Bowls, but how many championships did he win?
I don't know.
You know, they were the team of the decade, not because of the Super Bowls, because of the NFL titles they won. Before that, I think they won five out of the 10, something like that. But anyway, I think it's one of those things that is your individual opinion. And that's why I think there's always room to argue with it. And I think Andy's point about innovations comes into that. You might say, well, yeah, Belichick won more titles than anybody else, but Paul Brown brought more to the NFL, or Bill Walsh brought more to the NFL than anybody else ever did. Yep. I don't necessarily agree with that argument, but I'm just saying I think there's an argument to be made for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Bill Walsh is largely credited with giving an offense to half the league right now. Now, some people, anti-Bill Walsh, people say it wasn't his offense.
And half the coaches that won Super Bowls after him.
Oh, by the way, who was the head coach when Bill Walsh developed that offense?
That's a stinky banana.
Paul Brown. You know, just to, you know, talk about, you think of Paul Brown as this guy who was like in the 40s and 50s. The West Coast offense kind of evolved with Bill Walsh as Paul Brown's offensive coordinator.
So no fact, going like? Back to the 40s with Paul here.
Stinky banana.
D in Maine wants us to get into another one of these arguments that she gets into at work.
D girl,
I think.
D-E-E?
D-E-E.
D. What's up, girl?
Says she's from Maine, says, I'm probably opening a can of worms, but I have this discussion with some of my Patriots fan coworkers, and it's been a heated debate. So
there we go, another one.
Right. So I'm wondering your take on the issue.
Stupid.
You really always wasted time on that.
Get to work, you bums. That's the reason this country's going down the crapper.
I don't think the QB should get credit for yards after a catch. Those stats should be going to the wide receiver, tight end, running back, etc. What are your thoughts? Huge fan of the show, and all of you hope to hear the discussion slash argument from all of you.
Well, it depends.
It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me. I've never really thought of it. But sometimes the QB deserves the credit. Because, like, you know, when Brady's hitting somebody in stride crossing the middle and it adds 15 yards because they catch it in stride, he deserves some sort of credit for that. When Bledsoe's throwing it way behind the guy so he has to jump and fall.
I don't understand.
I mean, the quarterback
vitriol?
Plays a role in that. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, if I dump it off to Reggie Bush and he makes an outside linebacker miss and then goes down the sidelines, I don't really deserve credit for that.
Well, are we taking away the yards that the ball is in the air for the receiver?
Well, they have these stats.
No, I know.
Yards at catch, yards after catch, all this crap.
I know they do. I know they do.
It's the geekification of the world of sports and all
that
stuff.
So the quarterback, in her argument, the quarterback would get credit for all the yards from the line of scrimmage to where the catch was made, and the receiver would only get from where the catch is made to where he takes it.
And what about screen passes? Does the quarterback get like negative 4 yards, and then the running back gets what he gets plus the 4 yards?
So you're telling D
that
she's
would be interesting.
You're saying,
by the way, you take away.
You're calling D out here, I think.
No,
I'm intrigued. I wouldn't care either way.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
But I am now intrigued. The more we discuss this, verbalize it, it would be interesting to have a guy who throws the ball around the line of scrimmage a lot of screens lose yardage on those plays. His team is good. He has a great offense, but Tom Brady just lost 4 yards on that throw. Paul and Eric are
Paul had an update on
huddling together.
The end of an ordeal.
Right. Paul, when you were away.
My car loan company finally received the payment.
Paul had this ongoing
I read
ongoing
people ripping
feud.
You for talking about it on air. I'm just happy it all worked out for you.
Could you imagine, though?
When you just out of curiosity, when you say people, like, how many are you talking about?
I don't know.
So one guy sent you an email.
I don't know because
I just wanted to get.
So
I just wanted to get that.
I can't verify that either way. I don't know if it was one or more than one.
I'm guessing it was none.
Oh, it was at least one because I wouldn't have known about it. I definitely read it, but I don't know how many. Paul gets very sensitive if you criticize him.
No, I was just curious as to where all the
where
all the criticism was.
We know you do.
When we both get
the
same email,
I do not get defensive.
Oh,
no, I don't.
he's doing it on purpose. Could you imagine that?
What are we talking about?
D's argument.
yards at catch, yards after catch.
This guy needs the yards after catch.
Exactly. Not if he had 700, but he didn't know how many catches he had, but he had over 700 yards.
How many times do you think
he's a big play guy? Big play. Yeah. Calvin Johnson?
The people in the PR department who put the game book together, how many times they would have to redo the game book after the fact?
It would be a statistical nightmare.
It would be pretty much a nightmare for...
The ball has been respotted.
Seriously.
Correction?
Yeah, We don't need that. It's fine. Website, maybe, I don't know, maybe Pro Football Focus does some of that crap, but who cares? Imagine that contracts.
Oh yeah, well, you're this and that. And
the running backs, the receivers, the quarter.
It would be a can of worms, for sure. Phil from Nova Scotia writes in, we were talking the other day on the show about acquiring tickets because the individual game tickets went on sale Tuesday. Secondary ticket prices are not going down, at least if you want to secure a ticket early. A group of us go every year, and this year's ticket to see them play the Jets is the most expensive yet. We're paying $390 per ticket, and that's for seats on the second level. Every other
You're out of your flipping mind.
Have been on the first level. I guess the more fans hate a team, the more it costs to see the Pats play them. It's a lot of money, but if people like me are willing to pay it, then that's how much the secondary market can charge. That's right.
That and true. When we had the conversation about this on Tuesday, I forget who the guy was that was looking to for some advice.
It was our boy.
Was it Mikey?
Yeah, Vandalism.
Mikey Vandalism?
He had six windows open
that's
at 9:30.
Yeah.
The secondary market is not a market that you can get a steal on early.
Right.
You have to be willing to wait it out.
They have to get
and
nervous.
If you wait it out, I'm telling you, you'll get a face value ticket or even less than face value. Red Sox tickets earlier this season were going for like $4, $2 on the secondary market when, you know, they were really struggling in May. If you want to get the tickets now for the Jets game and do that's what you have to do. Is you have to be willing to pay a lot of
money.
It's
a game of chicken on both ends. You want to go, but you want to wait as long as possible and then still feel comfortable buying a ticket. They want to sell all their tickets, but don't want to lower them too early and lose profit.
Exactly. And I know people that have gone to the Super Bowls that the Patriots have been involved in, and they've gone down there without tickets. Some of them have chickened out and gotten tickets as soon as they had the first opportunity and paid through the nose. Others that are willing to wait it out and say to themselves, worst case scenario, I took this trip and I'm not going to get into the game, and I'm okay with that. They've gotten steals. They've gotten.
Yeah,
if you're willing to wait and you have
the last minute,
you know, if you have the stomach for it,
you can get in.
Easy, Andy.
Oh, boy.
You can get a deal. And I'd be willing to bet that most games, maybe the Jets' game is, if you're hell bent on the Jets, maybe that's not a good example. Maybe the email is probably right about that. Because they hate him so much, everybody wants to be at a game like that.
Yeah, but I think I think you could still get a lower price.
I'll bet you the late season game. Who's some of the bad teams we played on this show?
Jacksonville
here?
Yeah, no, down there.
Oh, okay.
Could definitely get them cheap down there, I would imagine.
You know, you could probably make a trip to that game for less than that $390 that it cost per ticket for the Jets game. You could take a trip, hotel, and get tickets for the game for less than that.
Before we go to a break, I want to read an email from today's lunch buyer, Chris with a TIAN. You're welcome for lunch, he says. As for the best seat at training camp, we were talking about that earlier. I'm going with the Hill. I went last year, and it was a great view. I got to see the offense and the DBs work in that end zone. Pretty good stuff. Also got to chat with Eric and Paul, which was nice since they took time to stop and talk. Andy,
big surprise,
on
Andy
the other hand,
down.
Was too cool in his puke orange visor to give me the time of day. Typical douche, Andy. That's why we love him. I don't know who we is, but
that's who we is.
I hope to make it this year on the 7th to see the Pats and the Saints in action. Hi, Eric.
Bring
Hi,
your mother.
Paul. Hi, Kevin. Andy, your mother says hello.
All right. That took an ugly
Your mother
turn.
Would say hello, but her mouth's full.
We'll be right back.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar?
Piano?
Tuba lessons?
Twins?
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new book. Vaz.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
Well, Fox in New Mexico is a subscriber, and he's pretty happy with our latest issue. He says...
I thought it was going to be Fox Sports New Mexico.
No, it's the Fox in New Mexico.
That's
what he goes by. No, that's what he goes by. Extremely entertaining paper last week. The pieces on Gregory, Gaffney, and Ridley were all great. I'd like to hear you expand on Andy's awesome article about defensive coordinator Matt Patricia. How much input would you speculate Matt has had as de facto, in quotes, coordinator in game plan and personnel groupings? And are there any coaches currently working under Dante Scarnecchia, as Patricia did in 2005? What percent chance would you give to Patricia becoming the next Pats head coach? Interesting
Zero.
Questions there. I don't, at this point, see him as a candidate for taking over for Bill.
No, not here. I think if the next head coach is on staff, it's Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an assistant offensive line coach right now?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. We had Ferentz was in that role 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, before he took over the tight ends.
And Godsey is now the tight ends coach, but he is not the assistant offensive line. You know, in the past, going the way back machine, Jeff Davidson filled a role like that.
Yeah, I don't believe there is one right now at Dante U.
And his other question, how much input do you think he had when he was, you know, before he got the title officially, when he was just the de facto coordinator? How much input do you think he had?
27%-ish. I'd put Bill at around 60%, 27% for Patricia. What is that, 87%?
In all seriousness, do you think much has changed?
10% Pepper. I think he's got a little more yolk. I think he can, a little more open probably. But I think he was always the lead assistant under Bill defensively for the last 3 years or whatever it is. I don't think much has changed. There's yelling behind the glass. I think it's the same offensively. I put Bill at 60% or 70% offensively and defensively. It's his scheme. It's his team. It's his show.
Mm. It may have been, you know, the guys like Josh may have, you know, you put your own imprint on whatever the mold is. And he may have had the most success of all the people who've been in that mold.
Oh, yeah,
that mold,
I'm generalizing. But, yeah. Like last year, I think Bill O'Brien had more because I think Bill was a little more focused on defense last year.
Throw it, Billy. Just throw it, Billy.
So I think, if a normal year is
Indianapolis, right.
Bill is 70%, well, then I think last year Bill was, 60%, and he jumped up to 40% control of the – whatever. But it's Bill's show.
All right.
And I agree with Andy on the McDaniels thing. I think he is more suited. I mean, probably because he's
having,
got the experience.
Having already been a head coach.
Oh, yeah. I think that's big. Even though it was negative experience, I think that's big.
He may have learned from it.
That's
somehow.
Big. I think you want that. And not the negative. I'm just saying you want the experience.
You want to fall in your face.
And it's a very similar situation to what Mr. Kraft did to hire Belichick in
exactly.
the first place.
Yeah, because he fell on his face in Cleveland and made up pretty nicely for it.
Because they couldn't run the ball.
We are doing very well in the Latin American.
Remind me
countries
to tell you
today.
The rest of that quote when we go upstairs. New guy.
You want me to tell it
inside
now?
Joke? No, don't do it now. No. Andre from Panama says, "Hey guys, first
Ooh,
of all,
Andre
from Panama.
Hola.
First of all, I want to congratulate all of you for the great show on Tuesday without Fred.
Gracias.
I have to put myself on the list of unhappy fans that couldn't get a ticket for a home game this season. Guess I'm going to have to go for the third time to Miami and see the Patriots beat the Dolphins again.
With hot women everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why. It's like miserable.
Although if lucky...
Fins up!
If lucky, I'll see Tom throw for 500 yards again.
And Wes go 99.
Exactly. A quick funny story related to tickets. The first time I was going to a Patriots game, I was so excited, I didn't even see the date of the game. I was able to buy three tickets for $115 in the first row of the end zone for me and my parents. Wasn't until a week from the game that I realized I had bought tickets for the preseason game of 08 or 09 against the Ravens that we lost 16-15. In the end, it didn't matter because it was my first time in the stadium, and it was great. And for the douche of Kevin, Ted hasn't been released here in Panama, effing moron. Neither is Batman being released this weekend as in the U.S., so please don't spoil it too, a-hole. That's Andre
from Panama.
You going
to see Batman too?
No, but I can't help when these, third world countries get these movies.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
What?
Yeah, because the U.K. is really a third world country,
isn't
it?
I hope somebody shoots him.
Compared to us.
Oh, jeez. All the fans we have
over
there.
Money, there's no money in London.
That's the Olympics.
What's your Twitter handle? At Kevin R. Collins?
Dumb as poo.
Yeah. At Kevin R. Collins, all of our U.K. Patriots fans. You can harass him.
It wasn't my fault.
Load his inbox and his at mentions box with your scathing replies on Twitter, please.
Hashtag overwork.
Or wait for him in the parking lot and give him a blanket.
Or that too, yeah.
That was a good one, Paul. I like that.
Thanks.
Well, I missed it.
Hashtag overworked.
Mikey Vandalism, who was irate the other day for not being able to get tickets. Now he wants the second best thing. He's going to come to training camp and he wants to visit us.
Well.
So.
During training camp, that's unfortunate. We can't get anything out of him. We already get lunch.
No, he'll owe us a lunch.
Yes. Yes.
Well, have we figured out when we're are we doing radio at the normal time and then practice? Like, have we figured that all out yet? I don't know if we're...
No, and my guess is we'll figure it out as it's happening.
Midway through the first show next Thursday. Guys aren't going to be here today because they're
I'll give you a quick recap of the pre-July 4th, scheduling. You guys, you guys weren't here.
Oh, my God.
That's like the undrafted. It just never gets old. Fred and I log off. We sign off on Thursday. July 3rd was Tuesday. So he goes, "We'll see you next Tuesday, blah, 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 blah," whatever. So I go upstairs and I said, "Fred, you sure you want to have a show?" Kevin and I were talking. It's a half day. It's July 3rd. So I said, "You sure you want to have a show on Tuesday?" He goes, "Yes." I go, "Well, it's July 3rd. It's a half day." He goes, "Oh, no, I didn't. We can't have a show then." So that's how these things unfold. Literally, within 10 seconds, he was definitively yes and then no.
He lost it.
So I emailed down to Kevin. He was very relieved to find out that, not surprisingly, what did that mean? Less work for him.
Have you guys been monitoring your Twitter accounts?
No.
Today? No.
Did I do anything naughty?
Yeah.
No,
just not like during the show.
During the show, I mean. Because people are starting to write in saying that the Vicente Shanko signing has come to fruition. And one person is also saying that NFL Network is saying that not just Shanko, but also Andre Carter, which would mean somebody would have to be cut if that were the case. Kevin, I don't know if you can look into that for us while we pick up with some more of these emails here. Hang on one second. Computer just crashed on me again. Mikey Vandalism, we were saying before, he was upset Tuesday not getting tickets. What's up, guys, at PFW? He writes in, I'll be making my premium return to Razor next week and was wondering if I would be able to come down in on Thursday for the show, check out the opening of training camp. I'd love to come on and talk Pats and have lunch with the crew. Let me know what needs to be done so I can plan accordingly and take off work to come up for the day. Also, with the reports of the Pats adding tight end Vasante Shanko, how much more dynamic do you think this offense will get with his addition as a number three tight end?
Yeah. He's a third tight end.
The best third tight end.
He may be the best third tight end in football, but you're a third tight end.
What do you got there?
I'm scanning Twitter. I don't see anything yet, but did we talk Andy's boy Robert Quinn yet?
Off air, we did, yeah.
Okay. It's Quinning, because that's one of the things that's popping up a lot.
Who hasn't been arrested this offseason?
Yeah, and for DUI again?
I just checked my timeline. I don't Another see
DUI?
Anything here.
For who?
Shanko being officially signed, or Andre Carter, for that matter.
Yeah, so I don't know where
I'm not saying it's
is.
Not, yeah. not – before anybody just, gets defensive, I'm not saying that's not true, but we do follow pretty much all of the –
Yeah,
I
don't see anything.
All of the local writers and most
and
of
the
major
ones,
national
too.
Guys,
yeah.
like Schefter and – Mortensen and those kinds of guys that would have the Pro Football Talk, Florio, those guys that would be in on this. I don't see it.
All right,
but I do think there's a strong possibility it's going to happen.
Sure, but I don't think it's that big. I think it's good depth. I mean, it's great depth.
I think that's all it is, Andy.
I mean,
I'm just
people envisioning. Okay, Branch isn't going to play, or Gaffney's not going to play this snap because we're going to bring all three tight ends.
That's fine. Whatever. But my question is, then why did you give a 3-year deal to Daniel Fells?
Well, you didn't expect him to get hurt. I think he's hurt.
I'm assuming
he was already hurt. He was hurt last year. You knew what
no,
his
no, no, but he
health
was healthy coming here.
Oh, no, he was fine when he was sitting
yeah,
here.
He was healthy.
Something happened to him.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my
something
mind
something happened to him
this
spring.
This spring. No doubt in
you
my mind.
You don't think it's a lingering effect of what happened to him last year?
Might be a re-injury or something. But
yeah, I don't know exactly what – I mean, to me, to say yes or no to that is kind of reckless. But my guess is that he got hurt sometime during the spring.
Okay.
And that would be a guess.
Okay.
And but before, sometimes we know stuff. In this case, we know
we
nothing.
We don't, yeah.
All I know
no
is
no one's
I
told us anything otherwise.
Yeah. Canadian Mike in Florida. I've gone out on a limb lately and probably made a bet that I will regret.
Don't bring Paul with you. The limb will break. Oh.
Really? It's just a nonstop assault.
Really? It's uncalled for.
I offered you the rest of my Buffalo tenders. You turned them down.
I just
what do you
can't
mean?
Believe you left food on the plate.
I didn't even finish half of it.
I think that might be a first.
It's a lot of French fries I threw away today.
A lot you threw down your throat, too.
Go ahead.
And an empty Diet Coke bottle in front of him.
I did polish off the whole bottle, but Dr. Oz told me it's okay.
Okay, what
that's another off-air discussion that people don't, are not privy to. Canadian Mike.
Will that get you by when you have a stroke from drinking too much diet soda?
Canadian Mike in Florida.
He didn't have no stroke.
Made a bet, 5-1 odds, with several people. That
it was such a bad bet that he decided to make it with several people.
All the New York teams will not make the playoffs this year. Looking at the schedule for the Giants, they'll have a hard time making the playoffs. I'm not too worried about them. Buffalo still sucks, regardless of their defensive additions. Jets might have the best chance to make it, but they'll have a QB controversy by week 4, so I think they'll stumble as well. What do you think the chances are, guys? And wouldn't it be great?
Well,
I like to leave the chances to Andy. Go ahead.
I think the chances
what's an odd number you're
are very good. And if I were you, I'd get by on a technicality and say the Giants and Jets play in New Jersey, so when the Bills get eliminated in mid-November, woo,
that's,
win five
that's
times!
That's Andy-like. That's a very Andy-like loophole.
I thought Andy said, what were the chances? I'd say
that none of them make it.
57.3%.
Like 11.3. I think one of those teams
I think
make
one of those teams is going to make it. And I think I think that you could look at those teams individually and definitely make the arguments that he just made. There's an argument to be made against all of those teams. Matter of fact, I think we picked the Giants just as a little preview of our training camp preview, as one of our teams on the decline.
Because they won't win the Super Bowl.
Because it's listen, I also think that when you play with fire like that and you're 7-7 every, and then you just make – at some point the run isn't there. You don't respond with 8 wins to close out the season when you can't afford another loss.
I mean, twice in 4 years it worked.
This is true. This is true. What do you want me to tell you?
You go 14-2, they'll go 7-7.
Webradio@patriots.com is our email address, 508-298-0398.
Where's
Fred Redding?
What would you rather have?
Hey, guys, this is Cody in Nova Scotia. I was thinking about letting Welker walk next year. We can use the cap relief.
I didn't know you made the decision.
So are the Patriots, obviously.
We can use the cap relief to extend a couple contracts, Spikes, Chung, Hernandez, maybe Vollmer if he's healthy. What do you guys think? I know Welker's a great player, but I feel like we're giving some of those catches to other players that we can get similar value. Loving the show, and I've been having a bit of trouble with the live feed at times, but not nearly as much as everyone is saying. He's on an iPhone app. What do each of you see as the best camp battle to keep our eyes on? Anyways, have a good one. Enjoyed the show.
Quick Cody note, today was supposed to be fixed by the NFL for the stream, so if
we've had a couple of emails
up.
Coming in with that, but not like we were the other day. Not like we were the other day.
I was told it was going to be fixed for today.
Well, we were promised a lot of things, but, you know.
Those monkeys. Best camp battles.
Yeah. Outside, the edge.
Edge.
Linebacker, defensive end.
Edge defense, interior O-line.
Mm-hmm.
Some
wide receiver competition to watch.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Roles at wide receiver, I would say. Running back. Roles at running back as the committee unfolds. What'd you say?
Defensive back.
In general, or you like specifically corner or the safety spots?
Yeah, I'd say both. I'd say definitely in general.
I don't think there's much competition there.
Yeah?
I think that Gregory and Chung are going to start at safety.
I think there's competition for who backs them up.
Well, there's a lot of competition there. Unfortunately, it's not
for who makes the team.
There's definitely competition, low-end safety. Yeah. And, see, the corner situation, I think they want McCourty and Dowling to be their starting corners.
Yeah.
But if Dowling can't do it, then I just think it's Arrington. I'm not sure there's a ton of competition.
So I guess near the bottom, maybe.
Yeah, I would say the back end of the back end, there'll be some competition.
Andy likes the back end, apparently.
I also think the defensive line. Some of these backup guys, Brace, Pryor, Dedrick, Warren, that grouping of guys there on the inside, because I think Wilfork and Love are kind of established. Definitely Wilfork. Love's kind of next in line.
I think he's.
And then all those guys battling for roles, jobs, careers, all of it.
Brian in Essex, Vermont, was chiming in on the discussion with Dee's argument about the quarterbacks and the receivers and the yards that they get.
Dee's nuts!
Brian said, I agree that in some cases the receiver deserves a great deal of credit, but I also think the QB deserves some credit for identifying coverage and seeing where the open man is, predicting the most successful/productive target.
Hey, receiver boy, who's more responsible for your yards after catch, you or the quarterback?
Me.
Of course you'd say that.
Yeah, of course he's going to say that.
I think it's the quarterback.
Diva.
Well, I think it's the quarterback. If he puts the ball where it needs to be, you're going to have a chance to make a play. If he doesn't, if he makes
if
you go back, you lost all opportunity.
Right.
I think it's the quarterback. Even the
a little
receiver,
bit of both.
Even the little pansy, skinny, lanky receiver said so, while avoiding contact over the middle.
Well, yeah, if it's a deeper ball, yeah. But I mean, talking like hitches, screen passes, things like that.
I think all of them. So, the accuracy of the throw is paramount to run after the catch.
Plays a role. I'll say that.
Because you're unbiased.
Yeah.
Kenneth,
my own bad opinion.
From Doesn't Say Where, what do you think the Patriots' record will be, and what games are you most concerned about? I'm most concerned about the Texans.
Yep.
And also what role Gaffney, Branch, and Sterling Moore will have this season. Okay, so let's take that
two
from the top.
Two receivers, one defensive back.
Record. Record prediction. I'm going to say 12-4.
I'm going to say 12-4 also.
You guys are negative. I'll go 13-3. I
was going to say that. 13-3.
13-3? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Definitely could see better than 12-4. If I had to say better or worse than 12-4, I would say better.
Okay.
Better chance they're better than worse.
Yes.
What would you guys rather have?
The games that I'm most concerned about?
Yes.
Houston.
Houston
would be
up
one.
There.
San Francisco would be one. Baltimore would be one.
Houston has probably, no problem for our cover. Blow us out.
Probably Denver.
Depending
with the whole Manning situation, depending on how that comes together. Mm-hmm.
What'd you say? I wasn't listening.
The games you're most concerned about.
Yeah,
San Francisco.
Division, I think there's a big drop off between Houston and all the other games.
Maybe. Baltimore's still going to be pretty good.
I think Baltimore's defense is suspect this year.
Andy is very much like Mike Felger. He has his little things, his little ulterior motives that float in the back of his mind, and they affect every decision
he
makes there. Last year, if you recall,
what?
There was something that Andy unveiled that he put a lot of emphasis on.
The Wilson Hart Power Index?
Yes, that might be what I'm talking
It certainly wasn't long.
I'm done.
How do you know?
Because we have a soundbite that says,
you know me.
Kevin.
No, I think Baltimore's
I think Houston's
gonna take
excellent.
A step back defensively.
You should
I think
know
this...
I got a little wiener.
And since the Patriots, I think, took a step forward offensively, I think they could
I think there's certainly a chance. There's a lot
of aren't they like 8-1 against them or something?
Oh yeah, they own them. They own the Ravens.
Yeah, they've been close, but a little misleading on the record because they've all been nail biters.
And almost all of them have been here too. But I will say that there's a lot of reasons to sort of.
And San Fran looks like a tough team on paper, but Aaron Smith really.
Or Alex.
Alex too.
Depending on who they go with, you know, I don't know
how you pronounce
it's
it.
It's a battle. You know,
who's Aaron Smith?
You know, Harbaugh might go in a different direction.
Who's Aaron Smith?
I don't know.
They also have Justin Smith. I don't know.
Who knows?
They got a couple Smiths, none of them named Aaron.
Okay, roles then for Gaffney Branch.
Aaron Smith is a defensive lineman for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Huh?
Like way to go, Paul.
Longtime veteran defensive lineman who retired like 2 years ago. Maybe.
We did. Gaffney, Branch, Sterling Moore.
I think Sterling Moore is going to make the team and
I
be in
too.
The mix.
I do too.
Are you taking drugs over there? I think his versatility, I think he could play some safety. You know, that we've talked about that. He got better every week last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, made some plays against Lee Evans and key plays that helped them get to the Super Bowl. But I just think he's a young player that you want to see where he can go.
I agree, and I think
he makes it too.
I think it might be simplistic, but I look at a guy like Will Allen and Sterling Moore. I think they might be fighting for a spot, and I think they're probably at best the fourth corner. You know, I'm assuming that. Dowling, Arrington, and McCourty are the top three. So at best, now you might say like Alphonso Dennard is the fourth or someone else, you know, depending on how they use all those guys. I look at a fourth or an extra corner like that, you got to be able to play special teams, and I'm not sure Will Allen going into year 12 is the ideal special teams extra corner. So he would have to really have a strong camp.
Just like defensively.
You know, year 12.
I don't care about special teams. I'll take the young guy who I think could still be developing.
Exactly.
Even if Will Allen is the same or maybe even a little better right now.
He'd have to be exceptionally
better. I don't
want
the old coot. I don't want an old coot as my developmental
guy. You know, it's Bill's arrow thing. He'd have to be exceptionally better than Sterling Moore, and I don't think he will be.
Yeah. Plus, Will Allen's been playing safety for him.
Is there room on this team, do you think, for both Branch and Gaffney?
Yes.
Oh, I would be very surprised if they both weren't on the team.
I will not be
injuries,
stunned.
Injuries
but I think
aside.
There's room for both. I think there's a chance one gets
aside. I'll be very surprised if they
but I think
if
there's
one of them,
room
if
for
one
both.
Of them flat out gets cut, I'll be very surprised.
What about Crooked Lee gets cut or Bumpley?
Oh boy. Who gets more?
Even he is making fun of you now.
I make fun of me.
Not really.
No, I make fun of you.
Who gets more
that's more accurate.
Involved in the offense between those two?
Branch. I think if Branch is here, he's more of a core guy. At his best in this offense, I think Gaffney is a contributor. He is what Julian Edelman can't be. Come in three times a game and make three big catches. He finishes 3 for 45 with 2 first downs and a touchdown.
I like it.
I thought that's always what he was his best at.
That
you know, the Baltimore game. He comes off cold and boom, big play.
I love the way you put that. He's what Edelman hasn't been able to do.
Right.
Come in cold and make a play.
I'm an analyst, Bill.
But I think they're
you're an analyst.
That's I right. think that their impacts on the offense, if they're both here, will be pretty similar at the end of the year.
I don't think Gaffney has the opportunity to catch as many balls as Branch. He will not approach 51 receptions. Now, I don't think Branch will again either, but I think there's a better chance.
Yeah, I'm assuming Branch's numbers are going to come down too.
What if they both get cut? No chance of that.
Good news for you know a Britt Davis.
Britt Davis,
or,
Matt Rohr.
There's no chance. I'm just throwing it out there. There's less than
a Jeremy
zero
Ebert, perhaps?
No chance.
Yeah.
0.0.
What about the Ebert / Edelman battle?
Not a battle. Edelman's versatility and punt return ability makes him the guy. Ebert has a Hellenic
squad.
Flu hamstring issue or something. Or
List /
he's,
practice
he'll,
squad.
He'll probably be here, but it won't be on the 53.
Concur?
I concur.
Williams, what do you think?
Stick to movie reviews. That's what I think.
What movie did you guys review when I went to the bathroom?
We didn't.
Ebert.
Oh.
Get it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it.
And this is the guy making fun of me?
I missed it. That's the kind of highbrow humor they teach you in the NASCAR.
Oh, yeah.
Thumbs down on that one, rookie. Jeevan from Vancouver.
Confused it with a NASCAR.
Jeevan from Vancouver. Oh, hey, guys.
Sorry,
CFL Scout time.
Is that what a porn star and a gangbang wants? NASCAR.
Again, seriously, no double like, in the entendre.
What goes on in that giant head of
yours? Well, a lot. Look how cavernous it is.
Stuff just bouncing across.
Yeah. Back. Empty space.
It's like a bathroom stall with Rob Gronkowski.
It's like the universe. It's ever expanding.
Did you see BB Jones retired, by the way?
I did.
Did you watch the video?
He's really going to get mad at you now.
The most retired from awkward video. She's having a 21-year-old midlife crisis.
Oh, my God.
Like, she did, like, a four-minute YouTube and, like, in tears and just, like, reading passages from books.
She can't do this anymore?
Self-help book. Clearly, her family, not surprisingly,
there was
wasn't
an intervention?
Real comfortable with her in the porn industry. And
did they have an intervention
yeah,
of some
I'm
kind?
Doing this for myself and my family and this and that. And but it's an awkward video. Awkward.
Oh, bad news for Gronk.
Why? Maybe she's going to go straight and narrow.
Settle
and
down.
Be as regular. Wouldn't that be great? If the two like uncontrolled, a porn star and the crazy,
they both settled
they come
each other
together
down?
And they just settle down, have six kids, like buy a farm and just live the life.
I would be stunned.
Be a good reality show. The porn star and the touchdown maker. No, seriously, that'd be a good reality show.
A good Freudian slip there. No. CFL scout time from Jeevan in Vancouver. I found the guy for the Patriots special teams Lowe's a couple weeks back for the Calgary Stampeders.
I don't understand that sentence, so we can stop right there. Special teams Lowe's?
I think he means to improve their special teams.
I didn't realize there were that much of a
I didn't think there were that much
problem.
Of a problem either.
Like is it a kick returner? Because sometimes CFL kick returners work.
I would like to see them improve their
only if
their
he delivered
kick
beer
game.
A year earlier out of a truck.
Well, you'd be correct. He says, for the Calgary Stampeders, Larry Taylor had a total of 428 return yards, including a 125, including 125 return yards.
That's like a quarter of his yards. He said he had 440 and he got 125 on a single play.
On a kickoff return for a touchdown, Canadian football field, 10 yards longer, obviously, than the American ones. Also, I think the BC Lions, who will win the Grey Cup again this year, he predicts.
That's the end zone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think the end zones are bigger, too.
It is 10 yards longer.
No, I know.
55 yards.
So he was 15 yards deep in the end zone?
I guess he must have been at the back of the end zone.
That's ballsy.
Yeah. That's like Ellis Hobbs-like against the Jets.
That's ballsy. I like this guy. Sign him up.
BC Lions, he says, have a running back who will rush and receive for 1,000 yards. That's pretty good. Andrew Harris. Hopefully the Pats can take a look at him next year as well. Both guys are beasts, says Jeevan.
I'd take the kick returner.
Vancouver.
There's a much better chance that a freak random kick returner can have one of those one-year wonder roles in the NFL.
And that's the area on special teams where they needed the most help last year.
Unless you ask Julian Edelman, who says they were fine. They were top 10.
Well, Scott O'Brien thought differently.
Yeah.
They actually, I'm doing the preview for this next issue on the special teams, and their kickoff returns were mystifyingly 10th, I think, in the league.
Their kick returns as far were 29th.
Their average drive start wasn't bad.
Right.
Their average per return was pathetic.
Was like 29th or 30th.
I think that was the stat I was looking
at. Yeah, that's the one Edelman went to, too.
That's the one
it's not the telling one.
You know what this show is? This show is an amalgamation of every show we've had in the whole offseason.
Oh,
God. I was starting to get a few stream emails.
Oh, NFL sucks.
So far, the stream hasn't cut out today on Patriots.com for the first time in months.
Sorry,
that's
NFL.
From
Kyle. You fixed it.
Everything but the NFL, Andy Hart.
Juve says, stream is fixed. No, wait.
Yay.
I forgot. I'm listening on my iPhone. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh. Juve, not funny.
Juvenile. That's juvenile. Exactly, Paul.
Wait till he tells people what he did this summer.
You wouldn't believe these three idiots that actually make a living.
Guys in the Hall of Famer, this is Mark Inchetta, the list guy.
Just so you know, new guy, I'm the Hall of Famer. Just want to clarify that.
Yeah. Baseball Hall of Fame.
Go ahead.
It's a fictional Hall of Fame.
I can show you the website.
It's not really a brick-and-mortar Hall of Fame. If you wanted to visit the gallery, you couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, well, what college has an actual building that is the
Hall
of Fame?
They all do. Probably they have a wall with all the pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. All the big Division I schools.
That's there. I can show you that.
I want to see that.
Let's take a ride to BU.
Hell no.
You ready?
Case
and then after that, we'll go to RFO Sullivan. It's not too far away.
I could do that.
Go to T's after? T. Anthony's? Get some pizza?
Last time I was in town, there was not a whole lot going on at T's Pub.
No?
Is it still open?
I don't know. I don't go there anymore.
I did go to T. Anthony's. Go ahead.
This is Mark and Cheddar. I cannot stand any of this talk about the franchise tag for the end of the 2012 season, let alone the end of the 2013 season. It's ridiculous to talk about.
He's not getting that. I can guarantee it. The 2013 season. That would be the quarterback. That's the one where it makes the big jump if you franchise the guy 3 years in a row.
Can we let him finish?
Well, he's not getting it. So I haven't heard any person say, we're going to franchise him 3 years in a row.
Is he talking about Hernandez for 13?
For the
14 season.
He doesn't specify who he's talking about. I think he's just sick of hearing about franchise tags far in advance. Okay.
Well,
I think.
You, like the player, should have fought for it to be removed from the CBA last time, and you didn't.
Major F-up, as they say, by the players.
Yeah, I think he's talking just in general about franchise tag talk.
Sorry,
like
Mark.
Didn't
mean to jump down your throat.
Having said that, I'm now going to mention it because two things are annoying me. One, Mike Reese, best known for his time on PFW's staff.
That's right.
Keeps saying that maybe the tag will be used on Chung the end of this season, and that the deal with Tyvon Branch of the Raiders is interesting, as Chung will be looking for similar. Can someone please explain why Chung is considered one of the best safeties in the NFL? Currently, I wouldn't even say he was a top 20, let alone top 7 or 8 safety in the NFL. He would need a massive season for it even to be a discussion. That's his first point.
Well, it is a weak position. We've learned that over the years when we try to break down, but you're right. He's not in the top echelon, and the market that everybody likes to say, he's not in the market of the market.
Well, I think that in order for him to be involved in that kind of a discussion, either with a branch-like contract or a potential franchise tag, he would have to stay on the field for 16 games this year and play at a level higher than he's played at thus far in his 3 years.
Yeah, make some big plays
so
consistently.
I think that Mike might be
Mike
might be projecting a little bit. If he puts it together and stays on the field, he might be in line for this. But if he doesn't, if we have another season where he misses 3 or 4 games and finishes with a pick and maybe a forced fumble, I don't think he's in line to get a Tyvon Branch like contract.
If Brandon Spikes plays like Patrick Willis this year,
he'll
be in that.
I think there's a lot of similarities with those two guys.
But for different reasons.
I'm just saying,
why would you project anyone to be significantly better than they've ever been and assume, well, if you're going to re-sign him, that's where the ballpark's going to be?
And I also think that
if Steven Ridley runs like Adrian Peterson this year and has 20,000 yards, well, you know what? When you re-sign him, you're going to have to pay him.
No one makes that analogy quite like Andy Hart does.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Let's stick to reality.
He goes from Chung staying on the field and making some plays to Steven Ridley being Adrian Peterson.
All three of those things are the same in that they're not. He's not Adrian Peterson, and Patrick Chung has never stayed on the field and made plays.
Paul literally almost fell off his chair laughing.
All three
at that
of those
statement.
Are the same in that they're not.
I mean, he doesn't stay on the field and he doesn't make plays.
Yeah,
I think he can.
And I also,
but you don't get paid for "I think you can" that you've never done.
No, but we're projecting.
Why are we projecting so ultra-positively?
Well, that's why I think Mark is sort of annoyed.
If Shane Vereen plays like Darren Sproles, then he'll get paid like Darren Sproles in a couple years. If Jeremy Ebert plays like Wes Welker, he'll get paid like... But
yeah,
you can't project from nothing.
There's another part of it, I think, is...
You know how there's an interpolation
are you ever gonna take
and
a breath?
An extrapolation? Well, this is a huge extrapolation. You're well off the graph.
Okay, here's where I would agree with you. And you know this. We've talked about Chung a lot.
And why are you going to argue me?
Well, I'm gonna maybe try to talk
with
about.
With would go in that sentence.
I'm gonna make a comment that based on what we've read, because we've complained, and not just about Mike.
No, Howe is the same. Your guy.
There's a lot of guys. I think that you and I, and I don't know, maybe Eric too, have a different opinion of what Chung has done when he has been on the field.
Then
forget about the time that he's been off the field.
This,
he dances around and celebrates a lot. He's energetic.
He's a good player.
He's good. Yes, he's a good
player.
He
has, if he played 16 games the way he played the 8 that he played last year, I don't think he'd be in line for one of these contracts. I think the other guys that cover the Patriots, Andy, do think he would be.
Yeah.
That's
where we have low standards for safeties.
That's where I think that the
cuz those guys were blowing Merriweather when he was here, mm-hmm. and now they're they don't know what a good safety is.
Have they forgotten Rodney Harrison?
Right. I don't think they really know what a good safety is. A guy who makes plays, steps up at the right time, makes key plays.
That was Harrison.
Right. Stays on the field.
I got to tell you something. I think Eugene Wilson in 2003 and 2004 played at a higher level than Patrick Chung has shown.
Oh, it's not even, as you like to say, not even arguable.
It's inarguable.
No, there is no debate there.
There's always an argument.
No, there isn't.
I'm Paul Perillo. There's always an
argument.
There
is no argument there. Eugene Wilson was far better than Patrick Chung has ever been early in his career.
I feel like we are not in the majority in that situation. Now, maybe Mark and Cheddar is like we are.
I'm fine when we're in the minority because we're usually right.
All right.
I don't have any problem being
Mark has a second point, and that's Aaron Hernandez. The debate is over whether he would try and be tagged as a receiver, not a tight end. Apparently, the argument will be based on where he is lined up on each snap. Yesterday, Pro Football Focus said he was lined up as a receiver. 71.4%, I think, of the snaps. Most people seem to have taken that he should be tagged as a receiver. Wrong. Surely, to be tagged as a receiver, he should line up as a receiver around the same percentage of the times that a wide receiver lines up as a receiver, i.e., I'm guessing, the average wide receiver in the league must line up as a receiver on 95-plus percent of their snaps. Would you agree? By this metric,
not
surely,
a bad Bill Belichick argument.
I think that might be good fodder for the Patriots, but I don't agree. I think there's got to be some sort of baseline there.
Okay. Those were his 2 points. He has a quick game before we get to Melvin in Tennessee. Hang on the line there.
What do you think of these fajita bowls?
Oh, I think this is the dumbest thing ever.
Really? I saw this the other day, too.
Stupid. Now that I'm
perfect
kind of intrigued
tortilla.
By. The little cut and cut.
Wow, that was pretty
the little cut. I don't understand that. This is like the Mike Lowell trade.
Andy,
the throw in.
Cut Andy,
and then it
listen to me.
Yeah.
Andy, this is the greatest show you've ever had.
No, I like the cup, but the tortilla thing, stupid.
The tortilla thing and that chopping thing are different in that they're the same, or the same in that they're different.
No, it's the add-in.
They're the same in that they're not.
There's more is better than the initial product. What I'm actually...
I like the Mike Lowell analogy. That worked.
But these bowls, how long is that bowl going to... You fill it up with salsa. How long till the bowl gets soggy and breaks? Oh, it's cute and all until it's all over your table during the party. And B, if it's crunchy and you're eating your salad out of it, the first time you jab it with a fork, it's all going to fall apart on your plate. It's stupid. If you want a couple tortillas, put them on top of your salad or beside it. No one wants a tortilla
bowl
at all.
He's really angry about this, Paul.
Because I literally saw it last night and it was stupid.
And the reason why
I've been waiting for this.
That's the first time I had seen it. But I asked you because you're a huge Mexican guy.
I am.
Mexican
food. I am.
You like the Mexican food.
I do, and that's not good. The cut and cup or whatever, I kind of like, where you just push it down.
Cut and cup?
I'm assuming it's just like a screen of wires underneath, and it just kind of pushes it through.
Sure.
The other thing that's notable in that infomercial is, have you noticed a lot of these now? 1995 is no longer the thing. That one's 10 plus shipping and processing. There's some that are...
Oh, that's how they get the 1995?
Oh, yeah, they rape you on that. Because they give you the free one, but you pay the shipping and processing. So it's 10 plus 7 plus 7.
When did it go
all of a sudden, it's $27 for this $10.
When did it go from shipping and handling to shipping and processing? Because that seems to be the standard.
My guess is somebody got sued because they didn't actually handle it or something, and
probably
they had to change the language to process.
I used to like when you were a kid, everything was order before midnight tomorrow, and it was like...
And we're throwing a free Mark McGwire rookie card!
Baby Jr.
All right, quick game from Mark before we go end the show.
With a shotgun.
Oh, you got to get to Melvin, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
That he's going to end the show for us, so hang on,
so
Melvin.
So he's the shotgun.
Quick game, though. He's going to give us two names, this Mark and Cheddar, two names, based on our beliefs of their performance last year. If one had to increase their performance level and one had to decrease, which player would we rather see increase and which one decrease, okay? Get it? So I guess this is kind of like the Devin McCourty thing. It's going to happen. One guy's going to... take a dip.
Who
in
do I want to be
who
better?
Who would you rather I have, be better, okay, and who would you rather not be better?
You got it, Darren?
Yeah,
don't take all day to analyze it.
Okay.
Spit something out.
Rapid fire. Hernandez or Gronk?
Gronk. Decrease Gronk, increase Hernandez.
Yes.
Boom.
Agree.
Yes.
Will Fork or Love?
Increase Will Fork, decrease Love.
I agree.
I agree on that, too. Mayo or Spikes? I'm going to say decrease Mayo, increase Spikes.
Same.
I'll agree with that one, too.
I'm going to go increase Mayo, decrease Spikes.
Because?
Because we got Hightower now, and I want Mayo to be great.
If you decrease Spikes, does that mean he's not on the team anymore?
Yes, basically.
Oh.
Well, he plays four games instead of eight.
Okay. McCourty or Dowling? Well, I certainly don't want McCourty to decrease.
Increase McCourty.
Increase McCourty.
Whoa. That's a tough one.
But how much
that's
worse
another
could he
one.
Get?
If you decrease McCourty, is he even on the field anymore?
But if you increase him, he was so bad last year, he can increase and still suck.
Increase.
It's not it's not ensuring he's good. It's just increasing he's less sucky.
Once again, Mark is
that's
hit
the
nail in the
one.
Head.
I would increase
ones.
Dowling and decrease McCourty. He can't get much worse, so he's the same guy. So I'll put him on the bench.
Oh boy.
Although.
He wouldn't even be on the bench. Yeah, and then Dowling gets hurt.
That's a good one right there.
That's the toughest one. I'm
going
to go with increase McCourty.
Oh, good.
McCourty.
So they both suck.
No, he'll get better.
He's going to be better. Unlike you, the worst corner
in NFL history.
Unlike you, I don't think that increasing over a bad performance means you still suck.
Right.
I'm saying
it didn't
he's
say how much he's going to increase.
I'm not pulling
him
the
bad
benefit
he
of the
was.
Doubt. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
A little bit better.
Okay. Next one, Chung or Arrington?
Increase Chung, decrease Arrington.
I agree. I'm with the Indians.
Because Arrington's slot backup guy, ideally.
I'd almost rather increase Arrington and decrease Chung because I think they've added some safety help, and I have a little bit of hope of Josh Barrett and either James Ahedebo being able to contribute with Gregory. And
yeah,
I'm
right.
not so sure about McCourty and Dowling being solutions at corner, so I'd rather increase Arrington.
Sure. You
that's
made
my,
an argument.
That's my
Not
argument.
A good one, but you made one.
Screw you. Last one, Andy or Eric? And he says, P.S.
Wait, whoa.
He says, P.S., if Andy said he had to improve, he'd be saying he was rubbish last year.
Well, I'm thinking I can't get much better. So
I just assume that's why I wasn't involved.
So Eric couldn't get much worse. So this is like the unanswerable one again. So you'd get better and I'd get worse. Because I'm so good that I can lose a step and still be way ahead of you guys. And you
and no matter how
better.
Much better I get, I'll never be as good as him.
Well, he's such a big idiot.
You're not even in the ballpark. I just want you to be competitive like McCourty.
You're always in the ballpark. You're always parking. Melvin
that
in
doesn't
Tennessee.
Make any sense.
Melvin in
You're
Tennessee. End this
balls,
pathetic show
the guy
for us,
who hasn't
please.
Used his in a decade.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Hey,
Melvin. What's up, Melvin?
Pretty good. Hey, I just had to ask a quick question. What do you all think as far as that's one of the few years I've watched New England, and they really haven't stocked up on their 2013 draft picks. Do you think they're going to go that way with maybe a trade with Welker and I hope, God, no trading with Hernandez with all these new tight ends coming in? I just wanted to know you all's opinion on what are their – what are your opinions on, you know, they normally come in with a pair of first-round and second-round picks, mm-hmm. and I didn't see that this year, so I'm just concerned about that. I wanted you all's opinion.
Yeah, I think Welker would be the guy. If you
Welker,
franchise him
okay.
to trade him,
I'd be very surprised. I'd be very surprised if they dealt Hernandez.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah,
too.
I don't think they're going to do that.
But I do think there's a slight chance that you might see a deal for Welker. I think we talked about it on Tuesday, very small one. But, yeah, there's a chance. They like to have those picks. The number of picks has fallen a little bit
yeah. mm-hmm.
in the last couple of drafts and certainly is slated to fall again in the 13 draft.
Can narrow that down to two people. Haynesworth and Ocho really hurt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They effed up those trades, and you can't get those picks back, and they haven't had any compensatory picks.
But if you could get, like, maybe two twos or something, or, you know, for Welker. I don't know. Maybe.
I
don't think they would do it for Hernandez, though, Melvin.
No,
I think they look
so
at him
either.
As being still young and
part
of their future
yeah.
as well. Now, I mean, Welker, best case scenario, Welker is a couple of years here, and then he's probably done.
Or it could
Hernandez
come
could
way.
Be here like Gronk for the next 8 years.
They could
if
trade
they
down
sign
with
him.
The first round pick next year. They could trade a two for a one, you know, the fall and start to rebuild it that way.
Anything
There's a
else?
Million of them.
Melvin?
Okay, yeah, I hear you.
All right, bro.
You got
okay.
anything else for us?
No, I just wanted to see you all's opinion on that. I was a little bit nervous.
It's interesting.
Watching somebody else coming in there.
Okay.
Tight end, so. Okay. Thank
all right.
you all yeah. so much.
Thanks for the
Melvin.
Call, Melvin.
Hernandez
Appreciate
isn't
it.
Going anywhere anytime soon.
No, he's not. All right, guys. That was a quick 2 hours.
It's
no?
a spirited show.
It really was.
This is the greatest show ever.
And unfortunately, Great. We have to say goodbye for today. But we will see you next Tuesday.
At least Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.